Blog Talk Radio.
From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Yes, indeed, it is the Boomer and the Babe Show special edition on a Saturday, October the 8th, 2011, broadcasting live from our studios in Youngtown, Arizona. Not quite, we're just down the road and around the block at the GAIN event, the first annual GAIN event for the city of Youngtown. It's a safe run, and they've already had the run this morning. The runners were up and going early, and now we're going to have the GAIN event that's going to be starting at 10 o'clock with all the vendors and so on and so forth. GAIN is getting Arizona involved in neighborhoods. It goes from 10 o'clock until 2. It's at Greer Park here on Alabama Avenue, 112th and Alabama Avenue. So everybody's welcome to come out. It's all free. Vendors from the local communities are available, and they will be available to demonstrate their wares. And you can see their wares. There's some free hot dogs and soda out here for the kids. There's a jump castle for the kids. And there will be bands performing from time to time. We've already had a band. Fossil Fuel has been here and was performing at 7 o'clock this morning while we were setting up. That was the band with Jesse Ramirez, the executive director of the Valley View Community Food Bank in Feeding Arizona, where we have our office. And well, one of the other band's members is John Mayer. John Mayer is the priest at the Prince of Peace Episcopal Church in Peoria, Arizona, and he is also the co-host of our show that we do twice a month called Exploring Faith. So hoping we're going to be able to get John to come by and visit with us for a little while, and also get Jesse, the mayor of Youngtown. Mike Lavalt is here, so we're going to get Mike over here. He's already said that he'd be willing to come by and make an appearance and talk about what's going on in Youngtown and this first annual GAIN event. We'll probably get somebody from the fire district as well, because it's their event that they're putting on. So we're going to take a little time now as we go and meet some of these vendors. I've got about a 30-minute combination of music and best of Boomer and the Babe interviews, one with a gentleman by the name of Tony Felice from Tony Felice PR, and another one with a gentleman by the name of Mr. Dave Barnhart, who is a social media expert. He'll be talking about Twitter. And these are some shows that we've done over the last couple of years, but it's all good information, especially for business people. So relax, take a listen to those if you don't mind. And then when we get the people in here, we'll come in and we'll break into that pre-recording. And we'll be back here with our first guests. As soon as I can go round them up, we're going to go grab some of them right now. So we'll be back very shortly.
We'll be right back.
overarching, all of that is one simple message, and that's how do you make a difference in people's lives? How do you save them time, money, lives, the environment? These are all the things that
how
people
really care
about.
How do you make them feel better? How do you make them more interesting people?
Absolutely.
How do you interact with them?
Yeah.
And it's all about that interaction, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the most important thing in the world is connections and how you touch other people's lives.
Right, right.
And how well you do that is dependent upon a lot of things. And those are sort of the 10 kind of rules that I have here.
Well, why don't we start with the top 10 rules. Be lighthearted.
Yeah. I mean, there are times to be serious. And you know instinctively when those times are to be serious. But no one wants to be around a sourpuss all the time. Right?
Sure.
So when you're lighthearted, then people want to be around you, right? The people with the most grace and dignity that you've seen that are examples, they are people that are lighthearted and don't take things too seriously.
And don't take themselves too seriously.
No, absolutely. The most important thing, too, is even in a disagreement, is to be lighthearted, you know? You can get your point across without being angry.
We can agree to disagree.
Totally, but wouldn't you rather have someone say, hello, is this where this towel's going to be living for the day?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, will you pick up your towel? I'm tired of you leaving it around.
Well, whatever does that, I call it sarcasm.
Exactly. We always joke about that in my house. Is this going to be, is this the home for this thing?
Is this where it is for the rest of our, rest of days?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, as you said, even in a disagreement, you can you can have a lighthearted nature to how you approach it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Number two, be informed.
Opinions are great, but do your homework.
We were talking about that before we came on there, wasn't it? In another light.
Sure. Obviously you want to be open to differing viewpoints that makes you a well-rounded human being, but it's great to have an opinion, but let it be an informed opinion and look at a variety of sources, even conflicting sources that are against your own opinion, so that you have a well-rounded understanding of a topic or where people are coming from.
Well, it's interesting. There are so many people that get into arguments or get sideways with people, and it has so much to do with misinformation or lack of information.
Sure.
And we see that every day in the news and in politics and everything else. And in their case, many cases, it's disinformation.
Absolutely.
So that's another issue.
Well, it's so important because when you take a step back, okay, let's imagine that you are 50,000 feet above the earth and you look down. Where are those arguments? You can't even see them.
Can't see them. They're not there.
No. So when you take a step back and you look at it and you realize that this is the fun part of life, is that if we all thought the same, my gosh, how scary would that be?
Right.
It could be a runaway train.
Yeah.
So we have to have differences of opinion. And in the middle, that's where the work gets done.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And the interesting thing is when it comes right down to it and you boil all the baloney out of it, it really, the sun still comes up in the morning, doesn't it?
It does.
And good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, the
Absolutely.
Sun will come up in the morning for every one of us. And we are back. It is Pete Peters without Deborah Brown, but here with Mr. Tony Felice of Tony Felice Public Relations, talking about branding yourself, self-branding, having a little topic. Our discussion today is about the 10 things that we have to do to build your personal brand. And we've also established the fact that your personal brand is basically, building a brand is building a brand.
Absolutely.
I mean, just like if you're a salesperson, there's transferable skills. If you're a good salesperson, you can sell most everything. You may not have to have product knowledge, but it's just the sales process is still the sales process.
Absolutely.
So branding is branding, personal or business. But right now we're talking about personal brand. Now, before we get into it, why does somebody have to worry about their personal brand, Tony?
I heard an expression once, and I wish I could give the correct attribution for this, but it was everything goes back in the box.
Okay.
Right? If you play Monopoly, whatever, it all goes back in the box. So do we.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to take with you?
Okay.
The only thing you're going to take with you is who you were and how you're going to be remembered.
Right.
That's your brand.
That's true. That's a very interesting point. When you go back in the box, what are they going to say about you? Was he a real whatever, or was he a really cool person?
Absolutely.
And then he puts on his tombstone, he says, see, I told you I was thinking. But that's another. Where were we? Number three, well-rounded?
Yeah, have things to talk about. The worst kind of people are the people that talk about other people. Average people are people that only can talk about events. And intelligent people, those are people that talk about ideas. So be an idea person. you don't have to constantly be an idea person, but ask those questions. Engage people in those conversations about ideas. You'll find that people respond well to that.
I always have found that when I ask more questions than I give answers to, mm-hmm. I get more information.
Absolutely.
I get more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I know Deborah's very good at that. Whenever we're in a situation, whether it's business or personal, it's you know, who are you? What do you do? What are you interested in? That
sure.
type of thing. And that's all part of building our brand.
Exactly.
Because people say, oh, man, those people are, you know, they're interested in us.
Exactly.
Know? And it goes a long way, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It really does. Be well-rounded. I'm well-rounded, but I'm well-rounded in a different way.
Absolutely.
I'm well-rounded around the middle.
I want to be less well-rounded myself.
Physically well-rounded.
Absolutely. And so number four would be circumspect or faithful to the absent. And the way I look at this is that how would you behave if your mother was standing over your shoulder?
Mm.
Or how would you behave if what you just said was the headline in the newspaper article?
Oh, my. That sounds interesting.
That's hard to do.
Well, it is, you know, because, I mean, I know I've said things from time to time, and I go, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a good way of thinking about it. What if what if my words were the headline in the newspaper article?
Absolutely.
Boy, I've said some things that I wouldn't want to have in the headlines.
Well, it's very easy to do that, especially if you are, you know, joking, or you really are just sort of joking around and making fun, but it's not really a good thing to do.
That's very true, and the history books are filled with people that have said silly things or said things that they didn't realize the camera or the microphone was on.
Exactly.
And it did become the headline, and it became their demise as well.
Absolutely.
And in your business, we don't have to sit here and recount them, but there's all kinds of them that come right to the top of mind. Talk about top-of-mind awareness.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what it is. Tell the truth.
If you always tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said.
That's right. That's true. You know, and that's interesting because your parents probably told you that, too. Tell the truth, and you never have to remember who you lied to.
That's right.
You know, it's just that's the way it is.
I can thank my mom for that.
Yeah.
She always said, too, admit when you're wrong. The most elegant, graceful people, I think, that I've ever encountered are the ones that said, you know what, hey, I'm totally sorry, you're right, I absolutely should have known better.
I really bollocks that one.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that's the most amazing thing in the world when someone has the courage to stand by to have certainty in their own life and self-awareness that they can say, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to be a better person.
And it's always disarming.
Oh, it is.
It's always disarming because
if
the other person, if you have offended that person in some way and you apologize and say, I'm wrong, I never should have said that, I don't know what I was thinking, whatever, and what are they going to say?
No. What are they going to say?
You know, you were a jerk. Well, I already said I was a jerk.
Yes. And you'll see in my list, you don't see anywhere here that it says be a doormat.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I understand.
You can have certainty in your life and know who you are and stand for something and still admit when you're wrong and be humble.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with being wrong.
Absolutely not.
People make mistakes and are wrong every day. Let's talk about being entertaining.
Be entertaining. Be inquisitive. Be someone that people want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Humor is a wonderful thing, and there's a time for humor, and there's a time when there isn't a time for humor. But when you're entertaining, then you are someone that people will remember. And
right.
if you think about when you go to a party, you might remember the food, you might remember the decorations, but you will remember the people.
And you will remember the people that you were having the most fun with.
Absolutely.
And most being your most entertaining self, and they were being entertaining with you.
Yes.
And that's who you remember.
Yes.
Other than that, remember that the guy was sitting there laying drunk in the corner, and you remember that guy. That's a different kind of entertainment.
Yes.
But nonetheless, there's an entertainment
Absolutely.
There or whatever. And if you're being entertaining and in the right way, mm-hmm. Appropriate,
sure,
then you will be remembered.
Absolutely. And I'm not talking about being a stand-up comic.
You don't have to be the one with the lampshade on. You don't have to be the one with the lampshade on your head.
No, not at all. Being entertaining comes from listening
mm-hmm.
and responding,
mm-hmm.
and responding in a humorous way.
Yep. That's one thing that I know that Deborah and I do, at least amongst ourselves, we're always laughing. You know, we've always got some kind of a byplay going on. And when we go out socially, that happens socially.
Yes.
And Deborah just got one of the ultimate compliments not long ago. It was over the holidays. We were at a party that said, you know what? They said to her, you are the same person socially as I met when I was on your radio show.
Oh, that's great.
So, I mean, that's nice.
That's a nice compliment.
That's very nice. eliminate I think I missed one there. Be mutable.
Be mutable, and that means to be flexible with your personality and know who your audience is. So when you, if you're the kind of person that can be comfortable talking to somebody who cleans windows for a living or a CEO, then you should be that kind of person because everybody has value in this world. And it's about engaging them in a way that you respond and are respectful for who they are.
Well, that's interesting. That's a very interesting point because that's one thing that we always strive to be on our radio program. We always strive to be that. And that's, and we have multitudes of guests from different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And we always try to encourage them mm-hmm. and engage them in conversation. And it seems to be working on our little half-hour radio program, the fastest half-hour in radio.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Next one you've written down here is eliminate negativity.
Absolutely. Get rid of people, bad decisions, poor judgment. The more you eliminate negativity in your life, the less you attract it into your life. And I honestly believe that.
I honestly believe that as well. We have a nasty habit of being in our office and having a television going in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And generally the television we have going on in the background is probably something like MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear all the carping and the griping and the complaining and yin 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 yang and yin 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 yang. And we go, and I said, turn that doggone thing off. It has a negative effect because all we're hearing is negative, negative, negative.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you get yourself all frustrated, and you're just off on a tangent.
Yes, absolutely.
It's very easy to go there.
That's what makes our life as publicists, PR people, challenging, is we've got to try to get our stories through that noise.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge.
It is a challenge. It's got to be a challenge because there's a lot of noise.
There is
a lot of noise out there. Give back.
Volunteer your time as well as your money. Money has a certain energy, and when you share money, then that money does come back to you. But when you volunteer your time, when you actually roll your sleeves up and find something to do, then you attract that back into your life.
Right.
You really do.
Well, we're finding that to be the case. We've always found that to be the case. That's one thing Deborah and I have always done. We've been accused of doing it too much to our detriment because, you know, it comes a point when you have to say, well, how am I going to make any money at this? If you do it too much, you're not making any money at all, and then you've got other issues. But, you met a gentleman that we're involved with today when he came in here just before we got on air. But that's the type of thing we get involved with, those kind of projects.
Sure.
So, and that's good for us. Hopefully it's good for him, and it's good for all concerned. It's kind of like almost that rotary five-way test.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's good for all concerned, it's probably okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hurting anybody. And then finally, be generous.
Do things for no other reason than it's the best thing to do, right? And so, for example, in my own world, I have reporters and producers that I'm friends with, and when I come across a really good story, I'll call them and tell them about it, and it may have absolutely nothing to do with my practice or my clients. It's just a really good story, and I honestly don't do that for what I think I'm going to get in return. When you do that, good things do come to you, and that's kind of like it's almost a conundrum,
mm-hmm.
because what I'm doing is I'm asking you to do things with no thought of what you're going to get in return,
mm-hmm.
but I'm explaining that when you do those things, then what you want comes to you.
Well, you know, you are probably one of the more generous people that I know in this industry. Your generosity is greatly appreciated for all that you've done for us and all the people you've brought to us. Quickly, as we're getting out of here with the music, tell people how to get hold of you, Tony.
You can visit my website, www.tonyfelicepr.com. That's TonyFelicePR.com.
And we are back. We're back live now at the GAIN event here in Youngstown, Arizona. And the good mayor of Youngstown is right across from me here, sitting at the desk here in a minute. And we're going to be seeing what he has to say about his city of Youngstown and some of the things that they're doing and about this event. But as all good politicians do, he's politicking. So we're going to give him a minute and see if we can't get him to sit down there, Mr. Mayor. you were politicking. I saw that before before my very eyes. I just put that on just right there, and you should be fine. There you go. Say a little something into the microphone.
Good morning, Pete. How are you?
We're good. Good sound. Okay, I guess right on the volume. Excellent. So how are you today?
I'm doing well. What a great day.
It is a great day, isn't it? It's really nice out here. Well, this is Youngtown. This is the Greer Park facility in Youngtown with all the City Hall offices right close to it. And it's really a nice little park you guys have here. And Youngtown, for a little town that is landlocked, really has some interesting things going on. Why don't we talk, first of all, about this game event and how did it come to be here? Who was responsible for bringing it here to Youngtown?
The first game event we did back in, would have been 06, and it actually start GAIN is an acronym, by the way, for Getting Arizonans Involved in Neighborhoods. And we started, the first event was down in Agua Fria Ranch. I was HOA president at that point, and that was the first GAIN event. And since then, we've moved it up here to town campus. And so this is our fifth year. You know, we changed the time a little bit this year. We were doing it earlier in the day. We had the 10K and a 5K and 1 mile run, of course. It started at 8. So anyway, it gets a little bigger and a little better every year.
Well, this is the first annual run.
First annual safe run, right?
Right. It's not the first annual GAIN event. I think, yeah, I may have mentioned when I introed the show this morning that it was the first event, but it's actually the first run.
Right.
And the proceeds from the run go to the Foundation for Burns and Trauma.
That's correct.
Is that correct? Is that 100% of those proceeds going to them?
That's correct.
And that's the purpose of that. Now, the Foundation for Burns and Trauma is affiliated with the fire department, I would imagine.
They are, yes.
And the Sun City Fire Department is the same fire department that is your fire service for Youngtown.
Right. Yeah, we're in the same in that same district, Sun City Fire District, and they do a terrific job. I call them the mad men and women that are running into the burning buildings while my residents are running out.
Running out, exactly.
But thank God they're there for us. They're very well trained. They have top drawer equipment, and they their response time is excellent. And they do a good job of community events throughout the year. They've been instrumental in organizing this GAIN event and the safe run this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had Ken Rice, who is the fire marshal,
yes,
on our show several times. Heck of a guy, Ken. I mean, he's just a neat guy to talk to, whether you're talking fire or not. But he's just so knowledgeable and really has his stuff together. And he has, and they have, put together a phenomenal fire department. I mean, it's just top notch. We had occasion last year. There was a gentleman lived across the street, down two or three houses. That obviously, when he was driving into his driveway, he must have a heart attack or a stroke or something, and he accelerated his car, went right through his garage, right through his house, right through the back of his house, and into the pool. Now, unfortunately, he didn't survive his trauma. But, boy, I tell you, that fire department went after him, and they got him out of there, and the helicopter came in, and I understand the helicopter, did it just land here a minute ago?
Yeah, just about 5 minutes ago.
The air evac came and got him, and they were pumping his chest all the way down as they were running him down the street on the gurney. So, I mean, it's a sight to behold. You don't like to see that happening, but nonetheless, it's nice to know that if you ever need it, it's there.
They're there, yeah.
It's absolutely there. Tell me a little bit about some of the things you've got going here in Youngtown. I know you've had a few initiatives lately that you've tried to get launched, and take this time and just kind of give us a lowdown on Youngtown.
Well, in keeping with talking about the fire department and fire safety, one of the most important things that we're working on now is an improvement in our fire flow system. North of Peoria Avenue, the water system north of Peoria Avenue is 50, 60 years old, built back in the late 50s, early 60s. And back in those days, code required only that they deliver 24 PSI to the shower and the kitchen sink. There was little thought given to having water lines big enough to accommodate modern fire equipment. So we've actually broken the fire flow improvement project into four annual installments or segments, if you will. And we just finished year one, phase one of fire flow improvements. We started at Grand Avenue, working our way south. And we just finished the first year's improvements, and we think we have the financing secured for year number two. And once we get that done, we'll go out and start looking for the third and fourth, fourth being the final phase financing. We're also working on something that is very proactive in Youngstown. We call it Speak Out Youngstown. We just finished, we had gun communications come in, and they put together a survey of our residents where we went out and, again, proactively, very proactively for the government, we asked our residents to have input in terms of the type and level of services that they'd like to see continue in their community, and also asking their suggestions on how we go about financing the continued providing of services. We just, that survey, the survey results were just presented to council at our last council meeting last Thursday night. We had just under 800 respondents, which for a town of 6,000 people, that's a large sample. So we're confident that the veracity or legitimacy of the answers, we're confident that the sample was large enough that we've got you know, a good solid data. So we're just now digesting that, and as I said, we're proactively asking the residents to participate in telling us what in what ways they'd like to see the future of the town shape.
There's no, just like any other town, just like any other government entity, funds are always an issue, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
And, of course, I know you personally are not one that wants to start raising taxes and so on and so forth, but yet you have quite a bit of demand for continued or increasing services from your residents. What? How do you balance that? What kind of a balancing act is that?
Well, you know, I tell people that it's not quantum physics. It's just simple arithmetic. If you have a certain level of service that you're delivering to the people, you have to have a commensurate level of financing. We're not like the federal government. We can't print money. We can't borrow money in Youngstown. We're not. We don't have an unencumbered stream of revenue that we could take to a bank and ask them to underwrite a bond. So we have to pay for things as we go, which is provision of services like policing, road maintenance, parks, libraries, but also capital improvements. If we go out to make a major capital improvement, we have to do it on a pay-as-you-go basis. So we're always looking for creative ways to, you know, go out and like with Fireflow I mentioned earlier, we've actually been able to secure some community development block grant money that has paid for, or will have paid for, half of that project. And the last half, as I said, we're going to have to go out and kind of scratch around for more resources. But it's as simple of a matter of arithmetic. If the residents want a certain level of service, we have to figure out a way to pay for it on an as-you-go basis. And I'm not a tax-and-spend guy. I hate taxes. But I'm smart enough to know that some level of taxation is necessary, because you have to have some level of governmental services that are being offered, especially critical things like I said, law enforcement, fire, street maintenance, parks, that sort of thing. So, and that's part of the reason for this Speak Out Youngstown and this survey. We've reached out proactively to our residents to get their input in what they would like to see as the future of their town.
And hopefully then, whatever it is that you've been able to, that you're able to implement, it's something that is something that they would like to have done, number one. Number two, they will realize, hopefully, that there may be some costs involved and maybe have to have some kind of an increase somewhere or something to pay as you go for that one particular project or something like that. Can you do assessments for a particular project?
Well, that's a yes and no answer to that question. There are some things that we can do through legislative fiat as a town council. For example, we just created a streetlight improvement district for that portion of the town north of Peoria Avenue. The part of a town south of Peoria Avenue has had the acronym is SLID, S-L-I-D, for Streetlight Improvement District. They've had a SLID south of Peoria Avenue since that community was built in the early 2000s. North of town, we just created a SLID, and the council can do that kind of a thing. When it comes to the bigger issues like property taxes, that has to be done. That has to be put to a vote of the voters, you know, which is only right and proper. And so, again, that's a kind of a yes and no kind of an answer.
Okay. Well, the last time you and I were on the radio together, I don't know, 6-8 months ago, you had mentioned, I'm trying to think there was, and maybe I had to step away for a minute when you were talking. Did you mention something about you had to do something in the alleys? You had to put asphalt in the alleys or something like that?
Well, you know, we've done that. That was the last major infrastructure project prior to fire flow. We did that. Actually, the alleys have been done now for about a year and a half. They've been finished. And that was really a PM10 issue, PM10 being dust particulate matter. You know, Maricopa County is what they call a non-attainment area for PM10. That's a particulate matter of 10 milligrams or micrograms, I should say, or larger. You know, we just have a lot of dust in here. And so we've been under an EPA mandate for a number of years. And part of that mandate was that unpaved streets, alleys, parking lots had to be, if not paved, they had to be stabilized from a dust control standpoint. And, you know, so rather than continue to spray something on the alleys that would control dust for a period of weeks and then having to come back and redo it throughout the year, we went out and sought grant money that allowed us to come in and permanently solve that problem by paving the alleys. And believe it or not, in this little town of about a mile and a half square footprint, we had 8.5 miles of unpaved alleys.
It's amazing. I mean, they just run back and forth, up and down, and you have more mileage of alleys than you have in square miles in your whole community.
Yeah, and talking about running back and forth and up and down in the alleys, they really do that now that they're paved. I get that occasional call from a resident where they'll say, I know they're exceeding the 10-mile-an-hour speed limit in the alley, so we have to kind of, you know, it's like everything you do in government. Every time you do something in government, it creates a series of unintended consequences.
It's like that domino thing.
That's right.
and no good deed goes unfinished.
I found that to be true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how much time have you got left in your term?
Let's see. My term runs until June of 2013.
And I know we were talking the other day that you're going to make some decisions on that. But I just want to congratulate you on the things that you've got done as the mayor, because I have some rough ideas as to what was going on in Youngtown prior to your coming, and you seem to have herded the cats, shall we say.
That's a pretty accurate description sometimes. When you're talking about elected officials and government, it is a lot like herding cats sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mike, I know I saw you again last night at an AARP thing. This is the home of chapter number one for the AARP. And I want to try to get Arky over here. Arky's all of a sudden who can stand up in front of 50, 60 people and go at it for an hour, he gets awfully shy when I say computer physics. It's time. But I want to find out more about his organization and what he's doing.
Well, and it's a great local chapter. I think it's one of the most active chapters probably in the country. I think we had over 50 people last night. That's pretty typical of the first Friday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
At 5:30, we do a potluck here in the clubhouse. And it took me a few years to get over. I was a little put out by the fact that I qualified age-wise to join AARP. But once I got over that, it's a great organization, a lot of benefits to being a member. And as I said, we have one of the most active chapters, I know, in the state, and I think probably in the country.
Well, it's interesting because as a member of the Baby Boomer cohort, when I turned 50 years old, I got my AARP welcome to being old enough letter. And, oh, my gosh, no, I'm never going to join AARP. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, after all, that's the Association for the Advancement of Retired People.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, my gosh. Well, it's not the advancement, it's not the Association for Advancement of Retired People anymore. It's just AARP. It's ARP. Because they realized, I think, that there was some built-in animus by identifying it that way, because especially as the baby boomers got older, we're not getting ready to retire. I mean, I'm retirement age, as you and I are sitting here at this table, and I'm doing this radio show, and that we just aren't ready to retire yet.
But you're doing what you love, right?
Well, absolutely, I do absolutely love it. There's no doubt about that. But,
yeah. So why retire? I mean,
that's just it. That's just it. You know,
that's the dream life. If you can do what you love until the day you die, I mean, that's pretty good life.
As long as nothing happens and I lose my mind and I lose my voice, they can prop me up in the corner and I can do this.
Well, lose them simultaneously. Don't lose one without the other.
Yeah, right. That's right. If you're going to turn out the lights, turn out all the lights.
Turn them all
out.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, Mike, it's a pleasure having you on the radio with me again. I do appreciate it. I enjoy having you on whenever you do come by. I'm sure there's going to be some other things that we're going to need to catch up on along the way as Youngstown grows and prospers and struggles and whatever, because you're the main man in town.
Well, I don't know about that, but I can't have an impact here in Youngstown, and I'm happy to serve the people. I think government oftentimes loses sight of why it's there. It's not there to control every aspect of everyone's life. I think government I think the purpose of government is to provide an environment that's conducive to commerce and it's safe for the residents so they can live their lives in quiet enjoyment. And I think beyond that, government should stay out of our lives.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I'm going to leave just with this one thought. I think you're going to want to get over there to get ready to present the colors. But at any rate, I had occasion just the other day of having somebody from the DES on the show. And he is a gentleman that they call him the community guy. And he deals with the faith-based organizations. And he actually tries to hook them up with DES. He actually tries to hook them up with the government services, meaning by that he says, I want to get them together. I want them to talk about what their common grounds are and what their common their common desires are, and then we as government, DES, get out of the way and let them do it.
Yeah.
You know, and we need everybody in this situation, the way the economy is, and so on and so forth. I'm not one that likes to say, well, in these terrible times. Well, you know what? I still believe, and I've been chastised for saying it, but I don't care right now. Let's say that the unemployment is 15%. I mean, actual unemployment might be 15%. But what that means is there's 85% people that are still employed.
Right.
And my task is to not become one of the 15%. And anybody I can help, if they don't become one of the 15%, that's my goal.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I like to leave it.
So, yeah, someone once said, recession is when your neighbor's out of work, depression is when you're out of work. Okay, Pete.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. I'll let you get over there to the presentation of colors.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Okay.
That was Mike Blavalt, the mayor of the town of Youngstown, Arizona, Always fun to have Mike on. Always interesting to listen to what Mike has to say. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to some of our pre-recorded programming, and we'll be back with our next guest before very long. Enjoy the conversation with Tony Felice.
Overarching all of that is one simple message, and that's how do you make a difference in people's lives? How do you save them time, money, lives, the environment? These are all the things that
people really
care about.
How do you make them feel better? How do you make them more interesting people?
Absolutely.
How do you interact with them?
Yeah.
And it's all about that interaction, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the most important thing in the world is connections and how you touch other people's lives.
Right, right.
And how well you do that is dependent upon a lot of things. And those are sort of the 10 kind of rules that I have here.
Well, why don't we start with the top 10 rules? Be lighthearted.
Yeah. I mean, there are times to be serious, and you know instinctively when those times are to be serious. But no one wants to be around a sourpuss all the time,
sure.
Right? So when you're lighthearted, then people want to be around you, right? The people with the most grace and dignity that you've seen that are examples, they are people that are lighthearted and don't take things too seriously.
And don't take themselves too seriously.
No, absolutely. The most important thing, too, is even in a disagreement,
mm-hmm.
is to be lighthearted,
mm-hmm.
you know? You can get your point across without being angry.
We can agree to disagree.
Totally, but wouldn't you rather have someone say, hello, is this where this towel's going to be living for the day?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, will you pick up your towel? I'm tired of you leaving it around.
Well, when Deborah does that, I call it sarcasm.
Exactly. We always joke about that in my house. Is this going to be, is this the home for this thing?
Is this for Israel? For the rest,
yeah.
of, our, rest of days?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, as you said, even in a disagreement, you can mm-hmm. you can have a lighthearted nature to how you approach it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Number two, be informed.
Opinions are great, but do your homework.
We were talking about that before we came on there, wasn't
yeah.
it? In another light.
Sure. Obviously you want to be open to differing viewpoints that makes you a well-rounded human being, but it's great to have an opinion, but let it be an informed opinion and look at a variety of sources, even conflicting sources that are against your own opinion, so that you have a well-rounded understanding of a topic or where people are coming from.
Well, it's interesting. There are so many people that get into arguments or get sideways with people, and it has so much to do with misinformation or lack of information.
Sure.
And we see that every day in the news and in politics and everything
yeah.
else. And in their case, many cases, yeah. it's disinformation.
Absolutely.
So that's another issue.
Well, it's so important because when you take a step back,
mm-hmm.
okay, let's imagine that you are 50,000 feet above the earth and you look down. Where are those arguments? You can't even see them.
Can't see them. They're not there.
No. So when you take a step back and you look at it and you realize that this is the fun part of life,
mm-hmm.
is that if we all thought the same, my gosh, how scary would that be?
Right.
It could be a runaway train.
Yeah.
So we have to have differences of opinion. And in the middle, that's where the work gets done.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And the interesting thing is when it comes right down to it and you boil all the baloney out of it, it really – the sun still comes up in the morning, doesn't it?
It does.
And good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, the
Absolutely.
Sun will come up in the morning for every one of us. And we are back. It is Pete Peters without Deborah Brown, but here with Mr. Tony Felice of Tony Felice Public Relations, talking about branding yourself, self-branding, having a little topic. Our discussion today is about the 10 things that we have to do to build your personal brand. And we've also established the fact that your personal brand is basically building a brand is building a brand.
Absolutely.
I mean, just like if you're a salesperson, there's transferable skills. If you're a good salesperson, you can sell most everything. You may have to have product knowledge, but it's just the sales process is still the sales process.
Absolutely.
So branding is branding, personal or business. But right now we're talking about personal brand. Before we get into it, why does somebody have to worry about their personal brand, Tony?
I heard an expression once, and I wish I could give the correct attribution for this, but it was everything goes back in the box.
Okay.
Right? If you play Monopoly, whatever, it all goes back in the box, right?
In the box, yeah.
So do we.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to take with you?
Okay.
The only thing you're going to take with you is who you were
mm-hmm.
and how
mm-hmm.
you're going to be remembered.
Right.
That's your brand.
That's true. That's a very interesting point. When you go back in the box, what are they going to say about you? Was he a real... whatever, or was he a really cool person?
Absolutely.
You know? And then he puts on his tombstone, he says, see, I told you I was sick. That's another. Where were we? Number three, well-rounded?
Yeah, have things to talk about. The worst kind of people are the people that talk about other people. Average people are people that only can talk about events. And intelligent people, those are people that talk about ideas. So be an idea person. You don't have to constantly be an idea person, but ask those questions. Engage people in those conversations about ideas. You'll find that people respond well to that.
I always have found that when I ask more questions than I give answers to,
mm-hmm.
I get more information.
Absolutely.
I get more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I know Deborah's very good at that. Whenever we're in a situation, whether it's business or personal, who are you? What do you do? What are you interested in? That
sure.
type of thing. And that's all part of building our brand.
Exactly.
Because people say, oh, man, those people are, they're interested in us.
Exactly.
Know? And it goes a long way, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It really does. Be well-rounded. I'm well-rounded, but I'm well-rounded in a different way.
Absolutely.
I'm well-rounded around the middle.
I want to be less well-rounded myself.
Physically well-rounded.
Absolutely. And so number four would be circumspect or faithful to the absent. And the way I look at this is that how would you behave if your mother was standing over your shoulder?
Mm.
Or how would you behave if what you just said was the headline in the newspaper article?
Oh, my. That sounds interesting.
That's hard to do.
Well, it is, you know, because, I mean, I know I've said things from time to time, and I go, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a quick, good way of thinking about it. What if this was, what if my words were the headline in the newspaper article?
Absolutely.
Boy, I've said some things that I wouldn't want to have in the, I wouldn't want to have in the headlines.
Well, it's very easy to do that, especially if you are, you know, joking, you really are just sort of joking around and making fun, but it's still, it's not really a good thing to do.
That's very true, and there's the history books are filled with people that have said silly things or said things that they didn't realize the camera or the microphone was on.
Exactly.
And it did become the headline, and it became their demise as well.
Absolutely.
And in your business, we don't have to sit here and recount them, but there's all kinds of them that come right to the top of my, talk about top-of-mind awareness.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what it is. Tell the truth.
If you always tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said.
That's right. That's true. You know, and that's interesting because your parents probably told you that, too.
Tell
the truth, and you never have to remember who you lied to.
That's right.
You know, it's just, that's the way it is.
I can thank my mom for that.
Yeah.
She always said, too, admit when you're wrong. The most elegant, graceful people, I think, that I've ever encountered are the ones that said, you know what, hey, I'm totally sorry, you're right, I absolutely should have known better.
I really bollocks that one.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that's the most amazing thing in the world when someone has the courage to stand by their, to have certainty in their own life and self-awareness that they can say, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to be a better person.
And it's always disarming.
Oh, it is.
It's always disarming because
if
the other person, if you have offended that person in some way and you apologize and say, I'm wrong, I never should have said that, my, I don't know what I was thinking, whatever, and they, what are they going to say?
No, what are they going to say?
You know, you were a jerk. Well, I already said I was a jerk.
Yes, and you'll see in my list, you don't see anywhere here that it says be a doormat.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I understand.
You can have certainty in your life and know who you are and stand for something and still admit when you're wrong and be humble.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with being wrong.
Absolutely not.
People make mistakes and are wrong every day. Let's talk about being entertaining.
Be entertaining. Be inquisitive. Be someone that people want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Humor is a wonderful thing, and there's a time for humor, and there's a time when there isn't a time for humor. But when you're entertaining, then you are someone that people will remember. And
right.
If you think about when you go to a party, you might remember the food, you might remember the decorations, but you will remember the people.
And you will remember the people that you were having the most fun with.
Absolutely.
And most being your most entertaining self, and they were being entertaining with you.
Yes.
And that's who you remember.
Yes.
Other than that, remember that the guy was sitting there laying drunk in the corner, and you remember that guy. That's a different kind of entertainment.
Yes.
But nonetheless, there's an entertainment there.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. And if you're being entertaining and in the right way,
mm-hmm.
Appropriate,
sure,
then you will be remembered.
Absolutely. And I'm not talking about being a stand-up comic.
You don't have to be the one with the lampshade on you. You don't have to be the one with the lampshade on your head.
No, not at all. Being entertaining comes from listening
mm-hmm.
and responding,
mm-hmm.
and responding in a humorous way.
Yep. That's one thing that I know that Deborah and I do, at least amongst ourselves, we're always laughing. You know, we've always got some kind of a byplay going on. And when we go out socially, that happens socially.
Yes.
And Deborah just got that one of the ultimate compliments not long ago. It was over the holidays. We were at a party. They said, you know what? They said to her, you are the same person socially as I met when I was on your radio show.
Oh, that's great.
So, I mean, that's nice.
That's a nice compliment.
That's very nice. Eliminate negative. I think I missed one there. Be mutable.
Be mutable. And that means to be flexible with your personality and know who your audience is. So if you're the kind of person that can be comfortable talking to somebody who cleans windows for a living or a CEO, then you should be that kind of person because everybody has value in this world. And it's about engaging them in a way that you respond and are respectful for who they are.
Well, that's interesting. That's a very interesting point because that's one thing that we always strive to be on our radio program. We always strive to be that. And we have multitudes of guests from different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And we always try to
encourage them and engage them in conversation. And it seems to be working on our little half-hour radio program, the fastest half-hour in radio.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Next one you've written down here is eliminate negativity.
Absolutely. Get rid of people, bad decisions, poor judgment. The more you eliminate negativity in your life, the less you attract it into your life. And I honestly believe that.
I honestly believe that as well. We have a nasty habit of being in our office and having a television going in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And generally the television we have going on in the background is probably something like MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear all the carping and the griping and the complaining and yin yang 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 and yin yang yang yang. And we go, and I said, finally, I said, turn that doggone thing off. It has a negative effect because all we're hearing is negative, negative, negative.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you get yourself all frustrated and
mm-hmm.
you're just off on a tangent.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's very easy to go there.
That's what makes our life as publicists, PR people, challenging, is we've got to try to get our stories through that noise.
Yep.
And it's a challenge.
It is a challenge. It's got to be a challenge because there's a lot of noise.
There is
a lot of noise out there. Give back.
Volunteer your time as well as your money. Money has a certain energy, and when you share money, then that money does come back to you. But when you volunteer your time, when you actually roll your sleeves up and find something to do, then you attract that back into your life.
Right.
You really do.
Well, we're finding that to be the case. We've always found that to be the case. That's one thing Deborah and I have always done, and we've been accused of doing it too much to our detriment because, you know, it comes a point when you have to say, well, how am I going to make any money at this? If you do it too much, you're not making any money at all, and then you've got other issues. But, you met a gentleman that we're involved with today when he came in here just before we got on air. But that's the type of thing we get involved with those kind of projects.
Sure.
So, and that's good for us. Hopefully it's good for him, and it's good for all concerned. It's kind of like almost that rotary five-way test.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's good for all concerned, it's probably okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hurting anybody. And then finally, be generous.
Do things for no other reason than it's the best thing to do, right? And so, for example, in my own world, I have reporters and producers that I'm friends with, and when I come across a really good story, I'll call them and tell them about it, and it may have absolutely nothing to do with my practice or my clients. It's just a really good story, and I honestly don't do that for what I think I'm going to get in return. When you do that, good things do come to you, and that's kind of like it's almost a conundrum,
mm-hmm.
because what I'm doing is I'm asking you to do things with no thought of what you're going to get in return,
mm-hmm.
but I'm explaining that when you do those things, then what you want comes to you.
Well, you know, you are probably one of the more generous people that I know in this industry. Your generosity is greatly appreciated for all that you've done for us and all the people you've brought to us. Quickly, as we're getting out of here with the music, tell people how to get hold of you, Tony.
You can visit my website, www.tonyfelicepr.com. That's TonyFelicePR.com.
if you're gonna use Twitter as a business and marketing tool, you need a better tool than the web browser and Twitter.com to do that. Something like TweetDeck. TweetDeck is free. You can go to TweetDeck.com. You can download it, and it allows you to be much, much more productive so that you're spending a few seconds at a time here. It doesn't tie up your web browser, and you can just keep it running over in a corner of the screen. It allows me to very quickly reply to people. I've got a column here where anybody, anywhere, anytime uses my name in any tweet, I'm going to see it. I can reply to it, so I'm not going to miss anything that's headed my way.
Now, does that work only if it's at Dee Barnhart, or does it also work with Dave Barnhart?
I've just got this. This is just Dee Barnhart. I could set up another column here on TweetDeck. Again, I can create searches. I have a search here for TypePad, for example, that I can have the search. The search runs continuously. I don't have to do anything once I've set it up. It refreshes every couple of minutes. And so I could set up a search on my name, and if anybody, anywhere, anytime used my name in any tweet, anywhere in the world, I would see it and I could reply. And that's part of what makes this such a wonderful prospecting tool, is that you can set up these searches on various keywords or phrases that are important to your industry, and then you can see those. You'll see them in real time, and you can respond in real time. I have a client who is a self-candy, a bulk candy distributor, and they have a retail operation. And lo and behold, one day some woman on Twitter said, well, you know, my favorite lollipop is this particular brand, but I can't find them here. Well, my client, because she had this search running continuously, saw that immediately, sent her a reply on Twitter and says, we have them, and included a link to the very page on her store where that person could buy them. How cool is that? I mean, what is prospecting? Prospecting is finding people with a need for what you have. This is wonderful. It is effortless. I explained this the other day in a seminar, and one of the old-time sales guys says, this is almost like cheating because it's so easy.
It has to be hard or it's not fair.
That's right, yeah.
So search engine optimization has always been, you know, for the last few years, something everybody understands. Oh, my gosh, you know, I've got to get my SEO up. But don't you also need your SMO going?
Yes.
Is it better, worse, the same, more important?
It's the same but different. The first thing I want to share with you is a dirty little secret.
Uh-oh.
And that is that, you know, we all tend to get anal retentive about keywords, right? And they typically go into this particular tag up on top of the HTML page. If you do view source, you'll see meta, type equals keywords, content equals, and here they all are. The dirty little secret is Google has not looked at that tag for 2 years. So don't spend a lot of time worrying about what goes into that tag, okay?
What they're indexing is what's going on fresh.
What they're indexing,
right?
Is the content and the title.
Now, oh, and the title.
And the title.
Oh, yeah, I'm okay. Messed up then because I didn't think about the title.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So if you have a blog, you know, each blog post has a title, and so they're indexing those titles as well as the content. There's another field that most people don't know about. There's something you can do called a Technorati tag. And those are very powerful in terms of Google Juice. I recently did an experiment whereby I built two blogs as a test. They were identical with identical content. When I would post something on blog A, I would also post it on blog B. And I made up a word, and that word would appear in the blog posts. And I used it as a Technorati tag, essentially a keyword in blog A but not blog B. Within 2 weeks, when I would do a Google search for that made-up word, the posts from blog A in the Google search results both outnumbered and outranked blog B. And so the Technorati tag field is very powerful and it's very, very overlooked. The type of things that you want to use for keywords in the social media sphere are different because we're really searching on conversation. It's
right.
Different than the brochure site of what we sell. Now what you want to do is you want to think about
the engagement part.
That's right. When people are talking about it, what are they talking about it? How are they framing it in an actual conversation? So
in other words, what words would they say if
exactly,
they were looking for something? Not
exactly.
Not how you would maybe set up your very nicely organized brochure, you know, with all these wonderful wordsmithed paragraph. Now we're talking about how do people talk about
it? How do people say it? Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna, if you have a need for a dentist, and you say I need to have whatever procedure, and you're getting real technical about it, that's one thing, and that's search engine optimization as an example. And he says, I got to get this doggone tooth taken care of. It's just killing me. I hope it can be done as a root canal, and it doesn't have to be pulled. That's different than the technical.
I'll give you an example. I have a client who is a personal growth coach, and she gave me a list of the problems she solved for people, and one of them on there was that she helps people who suffer from timid living. And I said to her, that might be what you do, but that when they come to you, that's not how they say it. They say, I'm stuck.
Did you say timid living?
Timid living.
And they're certainly not going to put that in a search engine.
That's right.
I am timid living. I suffer from timid living. It's never going
to
happen.
No, they're going to go to Google.
There's not a person I know that would say that.
That's right. They're going to go to Google, and they're going to type in, I'm stuck, or
I'm always
scared of everything. Wimp out. Or,
yeah.
And so what you want to do then is you want to understand that.
Right.
And on your blog, you want to be using those words and phrases so that it comes up when they search.
Now, that's just an aha moment right there, because it makes perfect sense. And I've heard you say it probably before, but it didn't filter in. It didn't go in.
You have to articulate it in their language. You got to frame it from their frame of reference, yeah.
So, and going back to the titles, a lot of times we know where our stuff lands if I put it in a blog. And if I'm trying to see if it lands on Dave Barnhart, for example, I have put your name in our title.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it really goes.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely goes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was doing the right thing on that.
Yeah.
Because I want, when you search on Dave Barnhart, I want our stuff to be there. You know? I want you to be happy that you're on our show. And oh, my God, here's my thing on Boomer's Dave Show. So that's a lot of cool information that you just gave us for free. Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean,
it's just so cool, though, because somebody's got to figure it out. And it's very important that people figure it out, because it's not going away, is it?
No.
And I've said this to you before. You know, it's sort of like this is brand new. But sitting around the campfire in the caveman days, it's the same thing. Who's talking about what?
Exactly.
Who's talking about who?
Exactly.
That's the only thing you do. All right. Coming to you from the Gain event in Youngtown, Arizona. And I have a guest with me today right now. Her name is Shannon Gutierrez. Shannon is with Blended Arts Dojo. And they have all kinds of martial arts that they do and they train people with. And Shannon, why don't you tell us, first of all, a little bit about Blended Arts Dojo. I know that Sheehan Nico is the owner.
Yes.
And the head honcho there. I've known Sheehan Nico for a couple of years now. So tell us a little bit about what some of your projects are, what your programs are.
Well, we've had several programs. During the summertime, we actually fed about 1,500 to 1,700 free lunches to the local community for any children 18 and under. We've got tons of youth programs. We have several belting programs as far as getting the youth into the martial arts and getting them belted. But the main thing is we have a lot of character building and just teaching them how to, you know, build that self-confidence that they need and how to deal with conflict properly. It's not just about fighting. It's more about, you know, if someone were to attack you, yeah, you could be able to protect yourself. But it's also about being able to have that self-control and learning, you know, when it's appropriate and when it's not.
Well, Nico was on our show probably a couple of years ago, maybe two and a half years ago. I think probably right around the time he was first getting started, I think. That's about how old it has been, isn't it? A couple of years now? Probably two or three years, maybe?
Well, Sheehan's actually been teaching in the Valley for over 30 years now.
Himself, but I mean, yes. As far as his own dojo, though.
He started out with Nick's Kick several years ago.
Yeah.
Blended Arts Dojo is kind of, it's restarting all of that he had already started several years back. We're just starting down here in Youngtown, just under a different name. We're My Bad Training Center and Blended Arts Dojo is just part of that legacy that he began several years back.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. We do a lot of stuff with that.
I was very impressed when he was on the show before about the emphasis that he places on, especially with the young kids, about this is not about just going out and kicking somebody's butt.
Mm-hmm.
This is training. This is self-assessment in some respects. This is self-control.
Right.
And certainly, in the worst-case scenario, you want to be able to defend yourself if it's necessary.
Definitely.
But it's more than just, like I said, more than just kicking somebody's bottom side.
Yes, definitely. It's like I explained, it's really, there's a whole lot of character development. What we teach is really focused more in on, you know, who you are as a person and how you represent yourself out in the world. And it's, they teach a lot about character, being part of your community, being an asset to the world, not just so much coming out and being there because you're alive, but actually coming out and being a benefit to everybody, you know, you know, simply by, you know, smiling at somebody, you know, helping them have a better day. You know, it's just, it's part of that confidence building and just kind of bringing a light to the world where, you know, there is a lot of conflict in the world and martial arts isn't always about, you know, like you said, kicking butt. It's about, you know, learning how to, you know, shine a little bit and not show so much of the conflict, but actually in that confidence and building that confidence within the kids and building the character and building the self-esteem and, you know, regaining strength. You know, we deal with kids that have been bullied just horribly in school, and, you know, just being able to build that confidence actually creates them not to be a target. It doesn't actually help them fight off the bully. It actually, you know, where they could if they actually got in a situation, but it actually shows them how to have a better posture and have a better outlook on life, and they actually don't become a target just based on a little bit of change in how they walk.
Well, that's interesting you're saying. I was just going to mention that there are several things that go along with whether or not you are successful, whether or not you are bullied, whether or not you are people try to take advantage of you, and it's the way you carry yourself.
Yes,
it's the carriage. It's people say, "Oh, that person is pretty self-assured, and why would I want to do anything with them?" Not that they're saying, "I know karate and and be aware," but it's just people don't like to pick on people that might possibly be self-assured and can take care of themselves.
Yes.
Along that lines, there are several disciplines that you teach at your facility. What are some of those disciplines?
Well, we have Muay Thai. We go into a lot of the basics of grappling. What we teach is actually Nikido Kai, and it's a combination of, you know, at least seven different martial arts. And so it's very well-rounded. So we want anybody who walks in our doors not only to feel that sense of family and that sense of urgency to become a better person, but we also want them to be able to protect themselves in any situation, if their back's against the wall, if they get tripped, if they're on the floor. I mean, we actually teach some of our more advanced students will actually start learning blindfolded, where they actually have to go into their other senses and actually be able to protect themselves. You know, that way if someone were to throw dirt in their eyes, they'd still be able to protect themselves. Or if they broke an arm, they still can protect themselves. You know, you have eight weapons on your body at all times. You've got your elbows and your knees, and you've got your hands and your feet. And you have to be able to realize that there's going to be times where you might not be able to hear anything, or you might not be able to see anything, but you still have to be able to be confident in any circumstance to protect yourself. You know, that way, no matter what situation you get into, you're going to be able to come out of it successful. And so we've actually incorporated so many different martial art forms into Nikido Kai that it actually will hold in just about any situation.
You hold classes there, and the classes are in any of those disciplines, and then also there are all types of varying degrees. I don't know the degrees: brown belt, white belt, green belt, black belt, whatever they are. So you have everything from the very raw beginner all the way up to the advanced. Is that correct?
Actually, the way we've actually broken down our classes is you have your basics. We have our Nikido kickboxing classes, which actually focuses on the cardio and the kickboxing form. We've got a competition team that actually goes, and they have a class where they go out and they prepare for actually competitions, either in point sparring, karate tournaments, or they'll actually go in for weapons competition. We also, the basics classes where they'll actually come in, and it's not basic by no means in what they're learning, but they actually learn the core of Nikido Kai, where they're actually starting out and getting down all the basic movements and actually making those kind of part of their reactive system. And as they move through the ranking system, basically, like you were saying, the belting program, we don't actually have a separate class for each rank. What we do is we bring them in, and as they mature in their art and they start making it their own, they move up into the next rank. But they're still incorporated in the classes, but they'll learn a different set of skills. So we separate them between our adult classes and we have advanced, and we have our beginner's classes, and we have an intermediate class. But what we actually do is we'll put them into an invite-only class where they actually have to be invited based on, you know, their performance and their ability to grasp the art and move on.
So you've got a little one that just came up and said, Mom, how old is the little one?
She's 5 years old.
And does she take classes?
Yes.
And is she pretty well advanced? Let me ask you, maybe I should ask this one. Is it actually a case of a five-year-old is advanced or not advanced or whatever, proceeding through it, or are they there just having a good time, having fun?
So with our kids, we try to make it fun because we want them to actually enjoy their art. But they're actually learning. They're actually learning how to defend themselves. They're learning self-defense techniques. They're learning. They have character building. We have a cueing program where they earn cues based on their proficiency in the color belt. We have a junior ranking system also where we progress them based on a few factors, their ability to not only learn, grasp, and use their skills that they're learning, but also we have the black cue, which is very special. It's actually the most important of all, and it's represented by a black stripe on their belt, and that is actually awarded by the parents. The parents and the teachers actually have to sign off stating that their character outside the dojo with their grades, they're doing their chores, they're respecting their elders and things like that, that their character outside the dojo is just as much and as it is inside the dojo. And so the parents are actually the ones that award that. One of my daughters actually was awarded that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so I actually have four daughters. So all four of them are in the arts, and they really do enjoy it. The younger ones, they enjoy having fun. We do more of the obstacle course, but it really is application. They don't realize that they're actually learning a whole lot more than they think they are. They're having fun, yes, but they are actually learning the art, and they're learning how to apply it.
Very good. And what age groups do you, how young do you start them? Let's put it there.
Typically, we start them about 4 or 5 years old. We'll go as young as 3, depending on how their focus, their ability to focus in class, if they're able to go and set through a 30-minute class, because a lot of 3-year-olds don't have that attention span to set through a class and actually continue with the movements without getting easily distracted. So we kind of take it on a case-by-case basis. Typically, it's about 5 years old. But what we'll do is we'll bring the 3 or 4-year-old into our class, and we'll let them take the class and see how they do and see how they enjoy the class. And then afterwards, we talk to the parents, we talk to the kids, and if it's something that they're really interested in, if it's something that they're really focused on, then of course we'll take them younger.
Younger.
Well, 3 and 4.
Yeah.
At 2, I don't think they have much of an attention span at all.
Yeah. Now, how old is your oldest student?
Our oldest in our dojo.
Yeah.
We've actually had someone at 86 years old, as far as I know, is our oldest student.
Wow.
And really enjoyed it. There's another lady. I think she's about 72. Loves it. Absolutely loves it.
Now that really is something that is of such a benefit for somebody that's a little bit older, whose joints are a little stiffer and so on and so forth. It's another form of exercise to get them moving and get the heart pumping and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something, because we have a doctor I know that is on one of our authors in our Boomer Series books, and also she has a show of her own on our Boomer the Babe Network. And she is a gerontologist. She works with older folks.
Mm-hmm.
And she is teaching them or introducing them to instructors who can do yoga. And I think she does some karate and some of the Eastern things, the karate and the yogas and the jujitsus and whatever. So something that you can do at any age, you know. Nothing says that the only thing you can do is play tiddlywinks or play golf when you're 86 years old.
You're right.
There's other things you can do as well.
Yeah, we have such a variety of health levels and fitness levels in our dojo. I mean, you know, a lot of people shy away because they're just like, wow, I'm a little too overweight for that, or oh, I'm way too old. I hear that all the time. Oh, I'm too old for that now. My body won't do that anymore. But the thing is, you know, that's the beauty of the Keto Kai is it incorporates so many. You don't have to do this specific kick if it doesn't work for your body style. You actually learn to make it your own. And as you go through, I mean, we've worked with people that had severe disabilities where, you know, they were really interested in learning martial arts and self-defense, but, you know, their body just wasn't developed the proper way to maybe do karate or to do competition or to do things like that, but they really love and they wanted to learn how to defend themselves. And we've worked with them, and I'll tell you something, I've seen some amazing progress in some of these kids that come in. We actually had a young man, I believe he had a spina bifida of some sort, and he loved it. His confidence level just boosted sky high. And, yeah, he might not have gone through, you know, beginning to end on every single workout, but he did get a workout, and he was smiling when he left, and he was more confident. He was able to do a lot of what we do there.
Well, there are a lot of organizations, a lot of businesses, companies that recommend this type of activity for their employees for some of those very same reasons. It gives them a sense of self-esteem. It gives them a sense of self-worth. Helps them to focus. And if they're focusing and they're sharp and their mind's sharp, that means they're going to perform better at work.
Right.
And so anything that comes along those lines and helps a person in their performance overall, work or otherwise, is got to be worthwhile.
It definitely is. I know for a fact, for me, even as a mom, it has helped me tremendously just in the day-to-day reacting with my kids and interacting with my kids. You know, it does bring a sense of balance to everything. It really truly spills over into every area of your life, from how you deal with, you know, conflict, you know, whether it's your coworker irritated you or, you know, your kid didn't do their chores or whatever the case may be. It's such a great outlet. You go in and you get what you need, and then when you go home, you're more balanced and you're more centered and you're able to handle different things a lot better than you normally would.
Do you ever get people that come to your dojo and they are there for the wrong reasons? They're there because they want to use it in a different way. It is not the productive way to do it.
I'm sure we tend to get people like that, but what happens is they tend to not stick around very long. They don't, because we focus so much on character. They're either going to get tired of it, you know, because we do focus a lot on character, and they're going to enjoy what they're doing, but they have to show their progress, and it's not just one area. It's not your ability to just, you know, like I said before, it's not your ability to just be proficient in the art itself. It really does spill over into everything. So they, you know, they would be able to learn how to channel whatever that is, that frustration that they have, or they would be able to channel it into their workout and channel that in, and eventually their, you know, either their motives change or their desires change for it. You know, I find that I haven't personally met very many, if any, that are just there to kick butt and take names. You know, they're just, you know, they come in, they might even if they come in with the attitude, they're just like, wow, there's more to the arts. There's more to the arts than that. And I find that they tend to change their perspective on martial arts in general, you know, and it's amazing. You know, I've heard stories of people just really saying, okay, this is not what the art is for anymore, and just really kind of changing the way they view the arts in general, because we are very traditional, and it's more, like I said, it's more about who you are than what you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had Gail over here. I thought she was going to come over and sit down with me, but Gail being Gail is off and about. Shannon, tell us a little bit about, or give us the information, rather, contact information, if anybody that hears this is interested in finding out more about your dojo. How can they get hold of you or Nico or whatever? What's the best way to contact you?
You can get on our website. It's www.mybadtc.com. That's MYBADTC.com. And you can look us up. You can reach us at, let me get my card. Can I go get a
There it is. Oh, she needs her phone number. She needs the phone number for the dojo.
I'm sorry.
1-800-OUCH.
We're located at 11136 West Arizona Avenue in Youngtown. And we also have a surprise location that's by appointment only. You have to have your classes set up already to be at that location.
A surprise location.
We do. Not surprise, I'm surprised, but and in Surprise, Arizona.
Oh. I thought it was a mystery location.
No, not a mystery location. It's actually in Surprise, Arizona.
A mystery spot.
Our students actually train at both locations.
Uh-huh.
Our phone number is 623-879-2683, and you can also visit us online. You can get our newsletter and look into more. We also have a newsletter that comes out every month, and you know, we have a lot of valuable information on that.
Well, Shannon, thank you very much. It's been fun visiting with you again, and tell Nico when I see him, you did a hell of a job.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Have a good event here. And joining us now is another young lady, friend of mine that I've known for since forever. How can you be a young lady and I've known you since forever? Maybe it's because we're both young.
Yes, that's right.
We're both are. Children in the heart and the mind.
And oil of Olay.
The oil of Olay. Exactly. It's Gail Allen with Chair Massage to you. Gail, you always are here at these Youngtown events, regardless of what they are. You're a Youngtown owner, business owner. You live in Youngtown as well, don't you?
No, I do not.
No, you don't. Okay.
No.
I do know that you're always here, though.
I support
the community.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, tell us about Chair Massage to you. You've been doing massage for a long time.
Right.
But you've gotten your certifications within the last couple of years. And you're all on your own and doing your own thing.
Right. Well, I've actually been certified and licensed since 1992. And I was involved in another business for quite a while. Now I'm into massage.
Uh-huh.
And I decided to venture out and get into my own business at a studio location.
Okay.
Prior to that, I went to corporate small businesses and did chair massage. And I really enjoy it. I want to inspire people to get healthy.
So you do chair massage. Now, you also do, at your location, you do table massage, correct?
That's right. I do full body massage, anywhere from 30 minutes up to 2 hours. Also, along with that, I can do a full body scrub and mini facials.
Well, I tell you, I have had you do a little massage on my shoulders at some of these meetings. You've been standing around talking and giving your presentation, and I've been fortunate enough to be your demonstrator.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I could handle 2 hours of massage because you are good.
Oh.
I would be turning to a bowl of mush.
And at my location, you know what's really nice, Pete, is after you get done getting your massage with me, because I am in control of the environment and the time-wise, I'll let you relax on that table for a certain period of time. I won't want you rushing out the door. I want you to relax after you've had the massage. That's just as important as during your massage. So I really like to take care of my clients and work with them. I do holistic massage, taking care and being in tune with their body, what their body needs.
Let's talk about the different types of massage. You hear things like people are saying there's deep tissue massage, there's hot rock massage, there's rolfing. I don't know what the difference is, other than what I've heard you talk about, because you said that what is the one that if you were Rolf somebody, you may well be, was that the one that you say you could probably be sorer than you were when you started?
Well, it's a very deep, intense workout on the muscles. If you've never had a Rolfing session and you have that one, it's even more intense than a deep tissue. It's supposed to release more toxins from your tissues. I'm not against it, but I'm just assuring you that you possibly will not walk away with a relaxed massage. There's massages that they call holistic massage. That is what I like to consider that I do. I do what your body needs. There are certain points of your body that need to be massaged or trigger pointed in certain ways. With all these things you hear about with Swedish, deep tissue, light touch, Rolfing, cupping, et cetera, it's like they've taken massage and they're dissecting it so that they learn what the client wants. They're trying to, you've heard of sports massage. Sports massage, for instance, involves a lot of stretching compared to deep tissue. And you really need to talk to your clients and see what it is they're really wanting done on their body so you can incorporate the right thing in the right area. There's some people that really want to come in and just have a relaxing massage. And you don't actually fall asleep, but you're in such a deep, relaxed mode that you're allowing your whole body to relax and rejuvenate. That's a wonderful massage to have. And then build up to where you get deeper massages. I just love doing massage and making people walk off with a smile on their face.
Your business is called Chair Massage to You because you do bring the chair. You do it on a chair, and you go where they are. But what are some of the primary differences between chair massage and table massage?
With chair massage, the chairs are not designed to do deep tissue work. They're only designed to give you relaxation, to take stress off of your shoulders, your cranial area, and hopefully somewhat of your lower back. But it does not balance you. When you get a full body massage, when you're laying on the table, your whole body will come back more into balance and have more relaxation. And let's face it, after you get a 5 or 10 minute chair massage, you're usually at a trade show location. You might have to go right back to work because you're in a corporate setting. So your relaxation is very limited just on the table when you're back to work. It does sharpen and relax your mind, so it makes it where you are more alert and more productive at work, even though it is a short 15-minute chair massage that you get. But it's nothing compared to a true 1 hour to 2 hour table massage. And as for myself, as my personal opinion, 2 hour chair table massage, it goes by quick for me. Sometimes I have clients that get up after 2 hours, and I actually wish I had more time with them. But I love doing massage. It's a passion, and I really enjoy having people go away feeling better.
Now, you have been doing some massages with some folks that have some severe issues.
Yes, I also do work on hospice patients. Sometimes I'm at their home setting, and sometimes I go to the facility that is taking care of them, and I enjoy working with them. And then I also am a therapist I'm involved in the 11th hour massage. That's where you're with your hospice patient where you know they're coming to the end and you're giving them gentle touch. I find that not only rewarding, but a privilege to be there when sometimes I'm the last person to see them when they close their eyes.
Well, that's got to be moving for you. But nonetheless, I'm also sure that it gives the people that are left behind a lot of peace to know that their loved one was taken care of to the bitter end, so to speak.
Yes, and because they the one I'm working on, they can't always speak, but they speak with their eyes.
Uh-huh.
And they truly are enjoying the fact that they know that someone is there with them, and they know their family's with them, but it's sometimes hard for the family member to be touching them as they're taking their last hour to move on to the next journey. So to know that there's someone there by touch and to comfort them, the family feels that peace also.
And there's a great sense of relief for them as well.
Yes, it is, very much so.
How did you get into that aspect of your work? How did that ever come to pass that you have found, a niche that you're willing to work in. The fact that you're willing to work in it is amazing to me. But how did you find that niche?
It just came from all the wonderful people I've known from the health community, and they called me. Some of them take care of the elder, where they give them home care. And because they know I'm a massage therapist, they started calling me and saying, you know, we have a client at home, in a hospital bed and wheelchair. Would you be willing to come to the house and work on them? And then all of a sudden, it just turned to where they were, majority of them at homebound at that time, our hospice patient. And from there, other hospice caregivers have found out about me. And it's just evolved from there that I go and I start taking care of them. And it's touching, it's hard. I have to tell you, it's tougher on me when I see a client for possibly up to 2 months going to their home on a regular basis for the last moments of their life, whereas sometimes, well, one of the clients, I'll only see them one or two times. So it's tough sometimes for me, but it's very rewarding because I have a different type of relationship with the family that's still here, and they stay in contact with me. And it's very touching.
Well, you are indeed performing quite a service by doing that. So
thank you.
I want to commend you for that. I've certainly heard you speak of it before,
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad I had an opportunity to grab you and sit you in the chair here and talk to you a little bit.
Well, do remember one thing today at this event. I am offering free chair massage. And I do once a month, I do a community event that if there's a fundraising, all the money that I raise during my chair massage sessions, I put all the money 100% to that community fundraiser. So please give me a call and we can talk to see if I can be available for you.
Giving you a call, what is your contact information and how do people get hold of you?
Well, you can get a hold of me. The best way to do is to call me on my phone. Because I'm not a computer whiz. My phone number is 623-261-7570. You can text me, or you can also email me on that same phone. You can also find me by just going to your computer and putting in the name Gail, G-A-I-L, Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Massage Therapist, Youngtown, Arizona, and I'll pop up at my studio location at Tranquility Massage and Yoga.
Very good. Very good. Now, Tranquility Massage and Yoga is just around the corner from here.
Yes.
And
the doors are open if anyone would like to come in and check us out. Sandy just got done with the yoga class, but we are very proud of our location.
As a matter of fact, I had Sandy here. She was sitting in a chair waiting to go, and I had Mike LaVault. And I got so busy talking with Mike, because he is, of course, the mayor and the politician.
Oh, sure. I guess you got to put Mike first.
So anyhow, she had to leave. So when you see her,
sure.
If you see her, tell her to come back over here and we'll get her back.
I'll get
her on the radio.
I'll get my partner in crime over here, ASAP.
Get your sister in crime over here, too, because
we
got some things we need to talk to her about as
Absolutely.
Well. And I saw her just behind us over here, and but she had her back to us, and I couldn't catch her attention. So.
Well, I'll go catch somebody right now.
Send them all over here.
And always remember, in my business, we always want an X.
There you go.
Take care, Pete.
Thanks, Gail. Appreciate it.
Bye now.
Take care.
I will go find someone.
That was Gail Allen from Chair Massage to You, talking about what she does for a living. She's also a super master networker here in this area. We see Gail at all of the various events around town. And all of the networking events, certainly she's there making sure that people are getting connected, and she's a great connector herself and helps people get connected. So it's always nice to visit with Gail. She always has some good information, and she always has something to say about what's going on in the area. So very well connected here in Youngtown. So I'm going to put it back on to some pre-recorded pre-recorded programming, and we're going to have some more guests come by during the course of this first 3 hours of broadcasting, and then we'll come back with the second 3 hours into the GAIN event, when it's going to be hopefully a little bit busier. We got some good crowd starting to build. Vendors are coming in, so you get a chance to come down here to Greer Park in Youngtown, Arizona, and see the Gain event, take part in the Gain event, you're certainly welcome. And we'll see you in a little while. We'll be right back with some more guests. In the meantime, enjoy the pre-recorded selections of interviews that we have with some people. Back live at the Gain event here in Youngstown, Arizona, and I have another lovely lady joining me here at the broadcast table, Laura Rice of Copy's Car Star, auto body collision shop,
right?
Towing, had anything to do with your cars, and the car's body is where you're involved.
Right.
Well, a couple of questions. First of all, I want to talk to you a little bit about the fact, because it used to be just Copy's Auto Body, was it, or Copy's Body Shop?
Copy's Body Shop.
And now it's Car Star.
Right.
What is Car Star, and why is it Car Star?
What is Car Star? We became a member of the Car Star family October 1st of last year. So we've been a member 1 year. And what that is a group out of Kansas City, Kansas, that have gotten independent body shops together. As one, we're still independently owned and operated, but we're able to operate like a multiple store operation now, where we can all get together, discuss our problems and our cures, and help each other out. And it's just so wonderful. It's like being with a bigger family. It's a family of families.
Okay, so does it give you, do you get additional have better buying power for parts and so on. You have more clout in the marketplace.
Yes.
So, therefore, hopefully you'll be able to offer your clients better pricing.
Better pricing, and also with CarStar, you're going to get now a nationwide guarantee, a five-year nationwide guarantee.
Okay.
And, of course, with a lot of our people being traveling in for the winter and being a winter visitor, they might have their car repaired and go back home and maybe have a question or a concern and wonder if it's right or not. They could go to any CarStar shop in their area at no charge to them, and it would be taken care of, whether it be something that needs to be fixed or just a question that needs to be answered. So now on top of our lifetime guarantee that they get from us, they get a five-year nationwide warranty.
So they're going into, they go to Des Moines, Iowa, back to Des Moines. They're traveling from Des Moines.
Right.
But they're going to Des Moines because they want to go to Des Moines. And something happens to their car, body-wise, it has been fixed by some of their CarStar facility. They pull into the new CarStar place that they just found in Des Moines, and they're going to take care of that at no charge to them?
No charge to them.
As long as it's in that five-year warranty period.
Right. What they'll do is if they can't produce the paperwork, they don't have it with them, they just let them know where the car was repaired,
mm-hmm.
and they'll contact us and verify that we did repair the car or if another CarStar shop repaired the car and when it was repaired. And from there, they just take care of it. You don't have any out-of-pocket expense, nothing. So I think it's a really good thing for the people here in Arizona themselves, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you were traveling from here to Prescott or here to Tucson, there's shops, but there's 18 of us now here in Arizona.
Now, our CarStar service centers, are they just strictly collision shop? They don't do engine work. They don't do...
You know, there's a variety within the CarStar family of the services that some of the shops offer. For instance, a lot of them could be a body shop and a glass shop. In our instance, we're a body shop, and we also have a radiator shop.
Okay.
So a lot of people are multiple services. Some do have mechanical repair shops with their body shops.
Okay. So they're not limited to just the body work?
No.
Okay.
No, they're not.
In listening to your sister, Gail, who was just here a minute ago talking about her chair massage business. She also works somewhat, I think, with your body shop, indirectly. But in the past, she's given many talks at networking things about the body shop.
Right.
And one of the things that she always mentioned and always has mentioned is that you don't always have to take the tow that is recommended by whoever is your insurance company or whatever. Let's talk about that tow situation, that tow scenario, because that can get a little dicey sometimes, can it?
When you're involved in an accident,
right,
and you're at the scene of the accident and whatever law enforcement shows up, if the accident is blocking the street, right away they're going to want to call in tow trucks to get the scene cleared. You are not obligated to use the tow truck unless you have gone away by ambulance and you're unable to stay at the scene. They're going to get whoever can get there the quickest. But, yes, you can request your own tow truck. In our case, we do have two flatbeds that run 24 hours. If you tell them, I would like copies to come and pick my car up, they have to give us a call or you can give us a call. We'll respond within the same amount of time and get your car and get it to our facility instead of the facility that they want it to go to, because that is a lot of work generally if it goes to another tow company to get your car moved after that point.
Tough to get it moved, and also then they have the possibility that they're going to start assessing you with storage charges and all kinds of additional cute little fees that you're going to be liable for. And you may not be able to do anything about it right now because you're going to be rehabilitating or whatever you're going to do.
Right.
If you were injured even slightly, and all that time you're just accruing fees.
Yeah. The best thing that you could do for yourself when you are in an accident is you should always have a power of attorney anyway for somebody that could handle your affairs for you. Get whoever has your power of attorney and give them the authorization to start taking care of that car for you, whether it be moving it from a facility, releasing it to an insurance company, whatever it takes. Give them the authority. It's not going to lessen your claim or take anything away from your claim. And the fact of the matter is, the longer your car sits in the storage lot, the more money that's going to come off the top end.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to move it. And in any towing company's defense, we all have fees that are registered with the different tow entities that we tow for. So there are certain fees that we are allowed to charge. But, yes, some are very steep.
Very steep.
Very steep. And so the longer your car sits there, if you know in your heart you don't want your car to be there, get it moved.
Right.
Get it. Don't let it sit there. And if they, in that case, too, and Gail and I, my sister, and I've told everybody over the years, even if I'm not taking care of it for you, call me. If you have a question, I'll help you with it. I'll let you know what it's going to take
mm-hmm.
for you to take care of it. I'm not beyond helping anybody. So,
Is there an area or a distance beyond which you, as Coffee's Car Star, will not go? I mean, it's just outside of the realm of anything good business-wise.
Well, we try not to go past the 101 and Interstate 10. We try to stay in the West Valley area only because of response time. Because we have to respond to an accident within a certain amount of time. So if we have to go to Mesa or Tempe or Gilbert, yes, we will do that, but sometimes that has to, you have to know up front, it takes the back seat in case we get a call from a police department needing us to pick something up. That has to come and it has precedence over your call. We will do it. But a lot of times, if you let us know and we negotiate it, we can get that car moved over to us for the same amount of money, just doing it the reverse way, letting the other tow company bring it over to us.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah.
So it can work.
Sense.
It can work both ways.
Well, besides, beyond that, if the car is in the main right of way, and it has to be moved so traffic can start to flow again, by the time you would get from here to the other, you know, 35, 40 miles away. There's going to be a major problem over there, and the police department isn't going to let that happen.
Well, there are some cases now, too, where people should be aware. There are some major tow companies in town that own 5, 6 individual companies, but they fall under one umbrella.
Oh.
And those cars, they have been known to respond to accidents in our area, but take them to the other side of town where their main storage lot is.
Oh, my.
That happens every single day. That can't be avoided unless you are there to say, I want Coffee's to come and pick us up.
You're involved in an accident. I'm going to give you a hypothetical here.
Okay.
You're involved in an accident. You're not terribly hurt. I mean, you're shaken up. You probably should go to the hospital to get checked over, but it's not the case that you're not splayed open to bleeding to death. And then they want to tow your car, and they're saying that the ABC company is going to tow your car. Are you going to, and then you probably should ask if they don't request copies, then they should probably ask that person, where are you taking it, correct?
Yes.
And if that person, if you're sitting over here on the west side of town, and their lot is 40 miles east of here, they say, well, we're taking it to our lot in Timbuktu, you have the right to say, no, you're not. I need to get somebody that's going to take it here locally. Or can you tell them to take it locally?
Yes, you can. It happens every day. If you are in an accident and it is during our business hours, most certainly have that tow truck bring it to us. We will pay all the advance charges. You don't have to worry about anything. If you want to ride with the tow truck over, a lot of times they don't like that, but you can. But a lot of the tow truck drivers don't like to be used as a taxi. But if you ride with the tow truck even over to our shop with your vehicle, we'll pay all the advance charges. We'll get you set up in a rental car if that's the case. We have rental cars on site. We'll give you a ride home, whatever you need. But, yes, if it is during the day, a business day, you can request where it's going to go. Now, some of the drivers will try to tell you you can't, but you can. It is your vehicle, and it is the law in Arizona that you have the right to take your vehicle wherever you want, whether it be to tow, repair, whatever. It is your vehicle. It is your right. There is a motorist bill of rights, and it states right in there that you have the right to take your vehicle wherever you want for repair.
Now, there's another issue, if I understand correctly, that's involved here, and that is the insurance company has tow facilities and body shops that do they own them, or they're in cahoots with them,
or they're contracted with them, or choose the adjective, but they have their own police to take cars for their benefit, not necessarily the benefit of the person involved in the accident, correct?
Yes and no.
Okay.
And the only reason I'm going to say yes and no, yes, there is an insurance company, a major insurance company, that owns a chain of body shops. So you will be directed to go to that shop because that would be for their benefit, for them to have you take that car to their shop. Understandably, I can see their situation. That's where they want the car to go. Then there are programs called DRPs, which are direct repair programs, which all your insurance companies generally have set up with a series of shops. CARSTAR itself has several DRP programs, insurance companies that we work with. Individually, and I'll talk as a shop owner right now, I might have a DRP program, but my customer is the person who owns the car. Okay? I have certain guidelines that I have to follow, but the guidelines that I follow are actually specifics that are written in your policy, which we probably never have read our policies, because if you have ever seen your insurance policy, you're not going to read it.
Apparently. Right, right.
Those are the guidelines we follow, but we're still going to repair the car so that it is right for you as the consumer. And we're not trying to gain anything by it other than, I hope, a long-time customer and a customer for life. That's all we want out of it.
Right.
But, yes, it just depends upon the shop, too.
Now, Copiers has been in business here in Youngstown, Arizona, for how long?
40 years as of June.
40 years as of June.
June 14th, we celebrated our 40th year.
And how long has Youngstown been around? 40 years.
Yes. Yes, we have seen the growth in Youngstown.
Yeah.
Youngstown, I believe, was established in 1954. Yes, the original owner of the ranch, Greer Ranch, Mrs. Greer, we repaired her car several times for her when she was alive.
Wow.
She was client of ours. She was quite a character.
Now, the business was started by your father?
Started by my father. He passed away 26 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So at the point of his passing, our mother was still alive and asked my two brothers, my sister, and myself to keep the shop going.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us that are at the shop are all family.
Wow.
And it's run by family. And most of us have been there for 40 years, whether we wanted to be or not, 40 years ago. We've been there.
Sweeping the floors and doing
whatever it would take.
Whatever it took.
But you know what? It's in our blood, and I can't say there isn't a one of us that doesn't love it.
Well, I'm sure. Otherwise, it would have been sold by now.
Exactly.
It would have been gone.
Yes, and of course, Gail has been a massage therapist for 25 years, and we did encourage her to go out on her own years ago because that is her real love,
mm-hmm.
is her massage, and she's good at it. And yeah. I might add right now, if you do have your car repaired with us and you put a review after your repairs on GarageFly.com for the shop, you will receive a one-hour voucher for a massage with Gail.
Wow.
And that...
It's almost worth going out and running into a tree.
Yes, I would say everybody should do that right now.
have the business card for Copiers, CARSTAR, run into the tree, have Copiers come and get it, and get a voucher and go see Gail.
And go see Gail.
And write it all off on your insurance company.
There you go.
Is that insurance fraud?
Probably.
Probably. We're not going to have it. Oh, that's great. Well, now, do you have another business yourself? Is there something you do on the side, outside of Copiers? I know there was something at one point that you were doing.
There was at one point. It's in the low bushes right now.
Oh,
we are pushing it, but we also own Sun City Radiator.
Yes.
And we are very diversified at Copiers Body Shop. We take utility payments, which a lot of people don't realize.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes, one of our longtime business associates went out of business a couple years ago, and he always took utility payments for APS, Arizona American. And so a lot of the people in the area here didn't know where to go. So we thought, why not?
Absolutely.
So you can come to us, pay your utility bills, and if you get a DUI, which I would hope you wouldn't get one, but if a person gets a DUI, we are a certified DUI interlock ignition device installer, certified with Motor Vehicle Department.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
That's an, I think that's an interesting subject. Mm-hmm. You're a certified installer, so that means when the court mandates that somebody has to have this ignition device, how does that work? I mean, is it a key number thing? Is it a breathalyzer thing that's hooked up to the car? What is it that allows the car to start? How does that work?
Well, we have a device. We put in a device called Smart Start. And what Smart Start is what's called a blowing device, a blow hum. In Arizona, it's what's required for the blow hum device. And it's a certain technique that you would have to be taught in order to start your car. It is wired into your ignition. So when you go to start your car, you would have to, first of all, blow into this device and until you pass. And once you pass, then you can start your car. And also while you are driving at different intervals, it's going to request a blow. And this is to verify that you haven't been anywhere and you're not inebriated and you're still going to pass. And it's an inconvenience, I know, and as a safety issue, we tell everybody, you know, you should safely pull over and then blow into the device, but it is what you have to do.
And if you don't blow into the device, it just shuts your car down.
It will not shut the car down, no. People, what it is there is a point system. You get 7 points. And every time that you miss one of your blows, it's called a test. If you miss a rolling test, then it will deduct a point. Once a month, you come in and you have your unit calibrated. And at that time of calibration, we download all your information because there's a little computer that's also put into your car that's hooked up to this. And it records your information as your driving for the month. And if you've lost a point, then you have to verify to us and say, this is what happened, and we're going to put a note in your file. That is all uploaded to Motor Vehicle Department once we upload it.
Wow.
Once Motor Vehicle Department looks at that, they have an option at that point to either go, okay, he just missed it and didn't hear it, had the radio up too loud, which is a common, or, well, we don't accept this as an excuse, and they're going to send you a letter. And they're going to say you're going to get an extension unless you can explain to us why did you miss the point.
Wow.
And it doesn't matter whether it's what type of DUI you have. It is law in Arizona. You're going to have this device in your car.
And how long does it have to be in there? Does that vary?
1 year is the minimum.
Really?
1 year. Mm-hmm.
And how does the traffic court referee or a judge or whatever, how do they make that determination as to how long it stays in your car?
They'll start with 1 year. They'll automatically start with 1 year, whether you're an extreme or not. You're automatically going to get 1 year. And then it'll depend as you, through the course of that year, how did you apply yourself with your unit? Did you miss a lot of points, or did you do so well that you're going to get off in a year? And because with the extremes or with the minors, they're all 1 year because the extremes have more with their jail time and all that they have to handle.
Okay.
Too.
Okay.
So that's
all right, so if they have an extreme DUI, they're gonna spend some time in Joe's hotel.
Right, and they all have to go through counseling. They all have a certain amount of counseling and all that they are required to go through. And I say whatever kind of DUI it is, because it doesn't matter if you're on prescription drugs or if it is alcohol. It's driving under an influence. And
wow.
So it is a requirement. Yeah.
Interesting.
And you'll have a special interlock driver's license.
What does that mean?
Your driver's license will have it'll say interlock device required right on your driver's license.
Oh, okay.
So you are not allowed to drive a vehicle. Any vehicle that does not have an ignition interlock device. And a word to the public, too, don't loan your car to somebody. If you know that they're required to have an ignition interlock device and they're driving your car and they're pulled over, your car's going to get impounded for 30 days.
Wow.
Because that person was supposed to have an ignition interlock device.
So it's just like anything else, basically. I mean, if you have an interlock device on your car, and you take your wife's car or your husband's car, and you're out driving, you're rolling the dice. Just if you're out driving and you're driving drunk, or if you're out driving and you are pulled over for any reason, you're rolling the dice there, aren't you?
Right.
Because otherwise, you're toast. So now they're going to take the wife's car. They're going to impound the wife's car for 30 days. She's not going to be able to get it back, and she's not necessarily going to be able to drive the other car.
And a lot of times they will then require, if this person is on the title of both the cars, now they're going to say, well, if you're driving both the cars, you're going to have a device in both your cars.
And who pays for that device in the car?
The individual has to pay monthly. It's a leased device. You're okay. Leasing that monthly. And minimum is going to cost you $80 a month.
Minimum.
Of $80 a month for that device. And I say minimum because it varies depending upon which system you have put in your car. But you have to pay that every month when you come in and have your calibration. That is a fee you pay every month.
And you have, depending on which system, is there a choice of systems or is there a mandate?
There's several different companies out there, yes. When you get a letter from Motor Vehicle Department, it's going to have a list of like 8 different companies. It's your choice which company you want to go to. And all the devices are basically the same as far as their blow hum devices. And there's a technique to each device that you would have to learn. Yeah.
But they're priced differently.
Yes, each company has.
It's sort of like on Wednesday the coupons and the paper come out and the coupons for the blow hump devices come out too. So you see what coupon you have and that's the one you buy.
Exactly. It's been an interesting business to get into.
I would imagine.
And I can't tell you how many friends we've made out of it. It sounds crazy, but we realize that mistakes happen. People make honest mistakes.
Sure.
It could be you or I that got behind the wheel after having maybe one drink thinking we were fine. Well, everybody processes the alcohol differently.
Right.
So it just depends upon who you are and how you process the alcohol.
Yeah, it's amazing because I do not drink anymore, period, in a conversation for no reason because I was told to by my doctor for medical reasons. Mm-hmm. But there were times back in the day when I had gotten behind the wheel and I know now that I had absolutely no business behind that wheel. Absolutely none. I mean zero. I shouldn't have walked across the street, let alone driven a car.
Yeah.
And you know, there but by the grace of God go I.
I think we've all said the same
thing.
But
back in the day, it was perfectly acceptable. You know, you're a little tipsy, you had three or four, you know, you're a little tipsy, and they pull you over, and maybe they say, okay, well, she's got a driver, he's got a driver, whatever, and
It was back before the Mothers Against Drunk Drivers also.
Yes. That
group is the one that pushed the initiative for this,
uh-huh.
And I can understand if I was one of those mothers, your heart is on your sleeve, and
something
like this, if they can spare any other parent the grief that they went through, that's what they're hoping to do. So, and it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are.
Uh-huh.
You're going to still have the same thing. You're going to go through the same thing with the court. It doesn't matter. Even if you're not 21 and you're pulled over for a DUI, you're still going to require this. Or if you're 86.
Well, how are people going to be able to get hold of Copy's CarStar if they need you and they need your services? How are they going to be able to get hold of you? Maybe what they should do is actually call you beforehand so they can get one of your handy little things in your glove.
Oh, we have lovely purple envelopes.
Absolutely.
Yes, with our towing number right on the front and a place for information on the back in case you were to have an incident where you have to contact a towing company. You have our envelope right in your glove box. And it doesn't matter if it's a flat tire or a tow. We can come out and help you out 24 hours. 24/7.
And how do they get hold of you to get one of those purple envelopes?
You can call the shop Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. The phone number is 623-977-3311.
Have a website?
We have a website, copies.com. You can go on there and you can contact us through that or come by the shop.
There you go.
Glad to talk to you. Glad to give you a tour if you want. We're right here in Sunny Youngtown,
Arizona.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And like I say, y'all can't miss this great building with a blue stripe now.
There you go. Very good. Well, thank you very much for coming by, Laura.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate you
talking. It's been nice talking to you.
You too.
I haven't had a chance to visit with you for a while, but it's nice to do it. We may as well do it on the radio.
There you go.
Thanks again.
Thanks, Pete.
We have another lovely lady here. If she can hear my voice. She can hear my voice. There we come. There's Sandy. Sandy and her four-legged friend with those on just like that there, young lady. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Sandy is Sandy Overman, and she has Tranquility Massage and Yoga. And that has been mentioned once already today when Gail was here with us visiting.
Cool.
And you actually are the owner of this shop.
I am the owner of the shop.
Okay.
I've been here in Youngtown for almost 9 years. Started my business name was Integrity Body Work and Wellness, and eventually we expanded, and we are now Tranquility Massage and Yoga.
Who's the little guy down here?
This is my shadow, and his name is Shadow.
His name is Shadow, okay. He's a cute little guy.
He's my shadow, all right.
You've got this massage, and I remember years ago when we would see you at the various networking groups and
mm-hmm.
so on, and it was massage, 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 and then not that long ago you took on yoga.
Yes.
Tell us about the yoga.
Well, I started yoga for my own personal reasons. I suffered with backaches for years,
mm-hmm.
Due mostly to the working over my own clients, not having really good body mechanics, and ended up with lots of backaches myself. And finally, I decided to try a yoga class. I said, oh, what the heck, I'm going to try it. And the effects were absolutely amazing. I stopped having back problems immediately. I was just so amazed at the class that I knew that I had to learn how to teach this so I could go on and to teach my massage clients how to better self-care for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been amazing ever since.
So are there different types of yoga?
There are so many types. If you are in a wheelchair, you can do yoga. It doesn't matter what level you're at. There are so many kinds. It's not just what you see on TV commercials where you're bent into pretzels or anything like
that. They're out on the beach and they're, you know.
Those are more advanced poses, absolutely. So we offer at Tranquility a lot of beginning and gentle classes for people who have never done yoga before. And we also offer chair yoga. And we do that out in the neighborhood retirement communities. And we offer yoga to people who cannot maybe get out of their community. We come to them, and we will set up chairs. And you can do yoga right in the chair. You don't have to stand or anything.
Like a dining room. Like
absolutely.
A dining table chair.
And that's the great thing about yoga is you can take it anywhere, anywhere. So at Tranquility, we do offer very gentle classes all the way up to power yoga. And that's going to be for people who maybe have been practicing yoga for a while, or for that person who really wants a good workout. So we offer more advanced classes also. On Tuesdays, we offer hot yoga. That's a new class. That is great. The room is heated to about 95 degrees.
Oh, no.
And we do our yoga in the heat. And that's just great for softening and lengthening muscle tissue. It's great for releasing toxins in the body through the sweat. And you just feel fabulous.
Well, let's see now. I am of Finnish extraction, and we had this sweat thing that we do too. It's called a sauna.
Yeah.
And it does release toxins.
It absolutely does.
I mean, I remember when I was first introduced to a sauna years ago, it was in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the sauna. And we came out of the sauna, and we jumped into the lake.
Mm-hmm. That feels good.
Yeah, the only thing about the lake was it had ice on it, and it dropped a hole in the ice, and that's where we went
that's
in.
That's very refreshing.
Refreshing. Your pores are going to be the size of a manhole cover when you come out of there.
I think that sounds wonderful.
And they slam shut so fast to the head of a pin size. It's just, it absolutely just rocks.
Well, just imagine working out in a sauna.
Oh, geez.
What a great workout you'd get.
It just rocks your world. It's absolutely
well, my students say that they love the hot yoga. They're feeling great when they're done with class. I've had several students comment that they've lost inches. So around their waist and their chest and everything, and that's what people want.
That, yeah.
It's a great workout. If you're trying to lose weight or get healthy, any one of our yoga classes is going to suit your needs.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And yoga is not, correct me if I'm wrong, but I have the impression that yoga is not as strenuous. It's not necessarily cardio. Is that correct?
Not necessarily. Our gentle classes, no. You're going to be, our gentle classes are going to be more seated on the floor. We'll keep the poses down, gentle. You're going to be focusing on breathing and relaxing.
in the more higher energy classes like our power yoga, you're going to get a workout. You will be absolutely shocked at how strenuous or the kind of energy it requires to do some power yoga. And you are going to get your heart rate up. Absolutely.
I would never have thought, because anything I know about yoga is that it's relaxing.
It just depends on the class.
And it's
There's just such a wide variety of classes.
But I've never heard of power yoga either, so I mean
we move a lot. We're not holding poses, so we're constantly moving. But the poses are going to be to build strength, absolutely, and stamina.
Can I get a better golf game if I come to your
yoga? Absolutely. Your whole life will be better because you're going to move better. You're going to feel better.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's why I did it, and I feel better than I've, you know, ever felt. So.
Very good.
Come out and take a yoga class.
There we go. Well, I tell you, we've got bees buzzing around us, and I don't know where they came from, and I don't know what they're, I know what they're after. They're after your...
my drink,
Okay. All right, so anyhow, let me tell everybody how it is they can get hold of you.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and give us all your information.
Well, I'm located at the cross streets, 111th Avenue in Alabama. That's located between Grand and Peoria off 111th. My website is tranquility-mformassageyforyoga.com. And you can reach me at 602-329-5779.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming by and talking to me.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Sorry we missed you earlier.
That's okay. I had to go teach a class.
Yeah, when we had the mayor, you know, he's a politician.
That's okay. No problem.
I can always blame it on Mike because he's a politician. So anyhow, thanks again. And
thank you.
Continued success with your yoga classes.
Thank you.
And with the rest of the things that you do over there at Tranquility Massage and Yoga.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy. Have a great day.
You too.
Sandy Overman with Tranquility Massage and Yoga here in Youngstown, Arizona, and her little friend Shadow. Shadow, the cute little dog. Loves mom, that's for sure. So I'm going to put this back on to our pre-recorded programming, and while we're waiting for some other people to come over. So... enjoy the pre-recorded programming, if you would, and we will be back shortly.
overarching all of that is one simple message, and that's how do you make a difference in people's lives? How do you save them time, money, lives, the environment? These are all, these are the things that
how
people really care about.
How do you make them feel better? How do you make them more interesting people?
Absolutely.
How do you interact with them?
Yeah.
And it's all about that interaction, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the most important thing in the world is connections and how you touch other people's lives.
Right, right.
And how well you do that is dependent upon a lot of things. And those are sort of the 10 kind of rules that I have here.
Well, why don't we start with the top 10 rules? Be lighthearted.
Yeah, I mean, there are times to be serious, and you know instinctively when those times are to be serious, but no one wants to be around a sourpuss all the time, right?
Sure.
So when you're lighthearted, then people want to be around you, right? The people with the most grace and dignity that you've seen that are examples, they are people that are lighthearted and don't take things too seriously.
And don't take themselves too seriously.
No, absolutely. The most important thing, too, is even in a disagreement,
mm-hmm.
is to be lighthearted,
mm-hmm.
you know. You can get your point across without being angry.
We can agree to disagree.
Totally, but wouldn't you rather have someone say, hello, is this where this towel's going to be living for the day?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, will you pick up your towel? I'm tired of you leaving it around.
Well, whatever does that, I call it sarcasm.
Exactly. We always joke about that in my house. Is this going to be, is this the home for this thing?
Is this where is for, it well?
For the rest of our, rest of days?
Yeah. Exactly. So, as you said, even in a disagreement, you can you can have a lighthearted nature to how you approach it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Number two, be informed.
Opinions are great, but do your homework.
We were talking about that before we came on there, wasn't it? In another light.
Sure. Obviously you want to be open to differing viewpoints that makes you a well-rounded human being, but it's great to have an opinion, but let it be an informed opinion and look at a variety of sources, even conflicting sources that are against your own opinion, so that you have a well-rounded understanding of a topic or where people are coming from.
Well, it's interesting. There are so many people that get into arguments or get sideways with people, and it has so much to do with misinformation or lack of information.
Sure.
And we see that every day in the news and in politics and everything else. And in many cases, it's disinformation.
Absolutely.
So that's another issue.
Well, it's so important because when you take a step back,
mm-hmm.
okay, let's imagine that you are 50,000 feet above the earth and you look down. Where are those arguments? You can't even see them.
Can't see them. They're not there.
No. So when you take a step back and you look at it and you realize that this is the fun part of life,
mm-hmm.
is that if we all thought the same, my gosh, how scary would that be?
Right.
It could be a runaway train.
Yeah.
So we have to have differences of opinion. And in the middle, that's where the work gets done.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And the interesting thing is when it comes right down to it and you boil all the baloney out of it, it really... The sun still comes up in the morning, doesn't it?
It does.
Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise,
absolutely.
The sun will come up in the morning for every one of us. And we are back. It is Pete Peters without Deborah Brown, but here with Mr. Tony Felice of Tony Felice Public Relations, talking about branding yourself, self-branding, having a little topic. Our discussion today is about the 10 things that we have to do to build your personal brand. And we've also established the fact that your personal brand is basically, building a brand is building a brand.
Absolutely.
I mean, just like if you're a salesperson, it's transferable skills. If you're a good salesperson, you can sell most everything. You may have to have product knowledge, but it's just the sales process is still the sales process.
Absolutely.
So branding is branding, personal or business. But right now we're talking about personal brand. Now, before we get into it, why does somebody have to worry about their personal brand, Tony?
I heard an expression once, and I wish I could give the correct attribution for this, but it was everything goes back in the box.
Okay.
Right? If you play Monopoly, whatever, it all goes back in the box.
Back
right?
In the box, yeah.
So do we.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to take with you?
Okay.
The only thing you're going to take with you is who you were,
mm-hmm.
and how
mm-hmm.
you're going to be remembered.
Right.
That's your brand.
That's true. That's a very interesting point. When you go back in the box,
mm-hmm.
what are they going to say about you? Was he a real whatever, or was he a really cool person?
Absolutely.
You know? And then he puts on his tombstone, he says, see, I told you I was sick. But that's another. Where were we? Number three, well-rounded?
Yeah, have things to talk about. The worst kind of people are the people that talk about other people. Average people are people that only can talk about events. And intelligent people, those are people that talk about ideas. So be an idea person. You don't have to constantly be an idea person, but ask those questions. Engage people in those conversations about ideas. You'll find that people respond well to that.
I always have found that when I ask more questions than I give answers to,
mm-hmm.
I get more information.
Absolutely.
I get more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I know Deborah's very good at that. Whenever we're in a situation, whether it's business or personal, it's you know, who are you? What do you do? What are you interested in? That
sure.
type of thing. And that's all part of building our brand.
Exactly.
Because people say, oh, man, those people are, you know, they're interested in us.
Exactly.
Know? And it goes a long way, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It really does. Be well-rounded. I'm well-rounded, but I'm well-rounded in a different way.
Absolutely.
I'm well-rounded around the middle.
I want to be less well-rounded myself.
Physically well-rounded.
Absolutely. And so number four would be circumspect or faithful to the absent. And the way I look at this is that how would you behave if your mother was standing over your shoulder?
Mm.
Or how would you behave if what you just said was the headline in a newspaper article?
Oh, my. That sounds interesting.
That's hard to do.
Well, it is, you know, because, I mean, I know I've said things from time to time, and I go, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a good way of thinking about it. What if this was what if my words were the headline in the newspaper article?
Absolutely.
Boy, I've said some things that I wouldn't want to have in the, I wouldn't want to have in the headlines.
Well, it's very easy to do that, especially if you are, you know, joking, or you really are just sort of joking around and making fun, but it's not really a good thing to do.
That's very true, and the history books are filled with people that have said silly things or said things that they didn't realize the camera or the microphone was on.
Exactly.
And it did become the headline, and it became their demise as well.
Absolutely.
And in your business, we don't have to sit here and recount them, but there's all kinds of them that come right to the top of mind. Talk about top-of-mind awareness.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what it is. Tell the truth.
If you always tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said.
That's right. That's true. You know, and that's interesting because your parents probably told you that, too. Tell the truth, and you never have to remember who you lied to.
That's right.
You know, it's just that's the way it is.
I can thank my mom for that.
Yeah.
She always said, too, admit when you're wrong. The most elegant, graceful people, I think, that I've ever encountered are the ones that said, you know what, hey, I'm totally sorry. You're right. I absolutely should have known better.
I really bollocks that one.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's the most amazing thing in the world when someone has the courage to stand by their, to have certainty in their own life and self-awareness that they can say, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to be a better person.
And it's always disarming.
Oh, it is.
It's always disarming because
if
the other person, if you have offended that person in some way and you apologize and say, I'm wrong, I never should have said that, I don't know what I was thinking, whatever, and what are they going to say?
No. What are they going to say?
You know, you were a jerk. Well, I already said I was a jerk.
Yes. And you'll see in my list, you don't see anywhere here that it says be a doormat.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Back. We're back here at the Gained event in Youngstown, Arizona, and my guest right now sitting across the old broadcast table is Mr. Arky Moscato. Arky Moscato is the man from art.
AARP,
AARP, yes. He is the president of chapter number one, Youngstown, Arizona. And we were at an event, last night that Arky's sponsored as part of his group, his monthly potluck. A lot of fun, a lot of good information. I was pleasantly surprised. Deborah and I both went home and we went, wow, that was really pretty cool. That was pretty. It was worth the $5 for a one-year membership, I'll tell you that right now.
There you go, and you're good all the way through 2012 at this point.
That's good. How did you get involved? I mean, I know you're a retired teacher. You after how many years of teaching?
30
years of teaching. And what grade level did you teach?
I finished my last 11 years at middle school, 7th and 8th grade.
Okay. Prior to that, you were elementary or high school?
Elementary for 16 years, substituted for 3 years before that.
Okay. All right. And you graduated from St. Canisius?
Well, Peter Canisius, Canisius College.
Canisius College.
In Buffalo, New York.
Okay. Very good. So you're a Buffalo, New Yorker.
Born and raised.
And it's colder than blue blazes up there.
It certainly is.
And it's getting that way just about now.
And I only go back there to visit once a year for my mother's birthday, and it happens to be in the middle of February.
I remember you going, and you came back looking awfully blue.
But it's still fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're a Buffalo Bill fan?
I'm a football fan.
Football fan.
Never bet the Bills.
Never bet the Bills.
You never know.
Yeah, never bet the football. It's probably the best way to just enjoy it.
That's right.
And cuss the ones that cuss out the ones
that's
that
right.
One if you didn't like them.
I enjoy a good game, and that's as far as that goes.
There you go. You are so involved in everything around this community. It's pretty amazing. If you want to know something about the community, you want to know something about what's going on in the community, ask Archie Moscato. And you are the man. You are Archie, the community guy.
I make myself available to help as many people as I can.
Okay. And amongst the things that you do, of course, is your AARP.
I'm the president of AARP chapter number one, and have been for the last 5 years.
Is that chapter number one in the country?
In the world.
In the world.
Yeah, they do have more chapters that are outside of the United States in U.S. territories, something like 5,000 or 6,000 chapters worldwide. They're not all functioning anymore, but chapter number one is not only functioning, but it's growing.
And now chapter number one, the number one, does that designate the fact that it was the first?
The very first. Formed in 1960, and we just celebrated our 51st birthday last night.
How would they have a chapter in Youngtown, Arizona that would be the first? How did Youngtown, Arizona, of all the places in this country, Youngtown, Arizona would have number one?
That's a great question.
How did it come to happen?
Back in 1948, the founder of the National Retired Teachers Association, Dr. Ethel Percy Andrus, who was the first woman principal in California, way back in the 1920s, or 30s, somewhere around there, she decided that she needed to have teachers have a retirement system. So she went around to all kinds of insurance companies all throughout the country to try and get somebody to sponsor health care for teachers who basically would retire and be penniless or without health care or anything else. She finally got one to accept them. And 10 years later, she formed AARP, which was originally the American Association of Retired Persons, because organizations throughout the country said, well, if you can do that for retired teachers, why can't you do it for us? So she did it. So in 1958, AARP was formed as the American Association of Retired Persons. And you had to be 65 or older in order to be a member. Well, she was instrumental also in the development and enactment of Medicare in 1965. And she was with Lyndon Baines Johnson when he signed the presidential law that Medicare would now exist. So AARP has been a huge force in the United States since the late 40s in one form or another. It came to Youngtown because back in the late 50s, she needed to have chapters so that she had grassroots throughout the country. And at the time, there were 100 cities throughout the country, especially Orlando, Boston, New York, L.A., and she's from California. They all wanted to be the first chapter because AARP was so popular and the United States had just started to gray at that time. Youngtown, Arizona was the first retirement community in the United States, followed shortly thereafter by Del Webb. But in 1960, among these 100 cities that wanted the first chapter, she came to Arizona and decided that the name itself produced the feeling of youth among the elderly, and that the community was so good and had such promise in the Phoenix Desert area that she named Youngtown as the first chapter in the country.
I'll be darned.
That's where it came from.
I'll be darned. So now how many are there? Do you mention that you gave me a number, but I don't remember.
Something like 5,000 or 6,000 chapters have existed throughout the world. Unfortunately, some of them have ceased to function, like probably about 10 years or so ago. The first Del Webb chapter, which was chapter number 4 in Sun City, Arizona, went out of business. Just recently, about a year ago, one of the chapters in East Phoenix went out of business. There is one in South Phoenix right now that's really struggling. There's one in Wickenburg that's really struggling. Some of them need assistance and don't ask for it. Some of them are not willing to take the assistance or the next step that's needed to make their chapters continue. Some of them just have grayed so much that they're just out of members.
What do you attribute the fact that these chapters aren't continuing and aren't succeeding?
Well, the age limit for AARP has dropped to 50 plus. Now, back in 1998, they changed the name. It's no longer the American Association of Retired Persons. They simply use the acronym AARP. It doesn't stand for anything. It's just an acronym that came from retired persons.
Right.
But age 50 plus, you need to draw from the younger people who will then gray in order to keep your organization going. I'm advocating dropping it to 45 to get more people involved, because one of the biggest benefits of AARP is the insurance companies that they endorse, and that helps to pay the bills for the national organization so that we can continue to help people throughout the country. The problems are that younger people are still working, assuming
right.
they have jobs anymore,
right.
but they're still working. So most of the AARP chapters, naturally, they started when you were age 65 plus, so their best time to have chapter meetings would be around 11, 12 o'clock, maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon, when the younger crowd is still working.
Right.
So they can't get involved, even if they wanted to. I experienced that when I came to Chapter 1 back in 07. We met at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, but I was fortunate enough to have retired in May of 06. So I didn't have that to be a problem, except that I have a business since I retired from teaching, and it did become a burden. And we only had about 35, maybe 40 members at that time that were left. And in the old days, they used to have hundreds of members when the chapter first formed. We would get maybe 20, 25 members at a chapter meeting. That was a good month. And I have a business to run, and it's really like, you can't do this. You're going to fold if you don't make a change.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked me what I should do, or what I wanted to do. I suggested we change the meetings to 5:30 p.m. Same night, Friday, but do it on a Friday night instead of Friday afternoon. Well, all of a sudden, all hell broke loose because, well, that's dinner time.
Right.
That's fine. So we make it a potluck.
Mm-hmm.
You got to eat. So come to the meeting, enjoy. I'll have a program for you, because at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you can't really have a program.
Right.
Just kind of an informational meeting and whatever. So I instituted a monthly program, either education, other information, entertainment, or a combination of whatever. We have our business meeting afterwards. We plan on how we're going to continue to help the community, plan on different events that we have throughout the year. I bring them whatever I can from the state and the national offices, and I work together with those offices. And now we have, especially after last night, we probably have about 80 to 85 members, or close to that. And we had 50-some members last night.
Right, that's a big crowd.
It was great. It was great.
The concentration of everything nowadays, marketing-wise, is to the baby boomer, born between 46 and 64. I don't know what makes the youngest boomer. I don't know what. You can do the math.
65.
The youngest.
The youngest boomer.
Yeah, the oldest boomer is 65, 66. But the younger ones are still hopefully working.
Hopefully, mid-50s.
If they want to. So has AARP, I think they have, tried to focus on that younger part of that cohort. I see the difference in the fact that who they're putting on the cover of their magazine. I mean,
They're continually putting celebrities on that are just turning 50.
Just turned 50, exactly.
Trying to draw attraction to that.
Right.
But again, for chapters, we've got about 38 million members in AARP worldwide. But probably 90% of that figure have no idea that chapters exist. There are even workers at the state offices and involved in state programs like driver education that have no idea that chapters exist. I was just approached this morning from one. He said, "What is a chapter?" And when I explained it to him, he said, "Well, I'm with the driver program. I'm in charge of the western region of the driver programs, and I never heard of this before. And that's what I've been fighting the national for the last several years, is to get more promotion so that people know that there are chapters and encourage them to join a chapter or create a chapter if there's not one near where they live.
The fact that somebody is getting their AARP welcoming at age 50 years old is somewhat disconcerting to some people if they think, based on what AARP has been, that it's just for the seniors or the super seniors, and that's got to be something that's got to be overcome.
Well, to a point, but you know, when somebody goes to the movie theater and they say, well, why can't I get my senior discount ticket? I'm age 55. Well, if you were 55, you want a senior discount there, why don't you join AARP?
No, I understand that. I'm not arguing that point, but what I'm saying is there's certain, it's
psychological.
Well, it's selective.
What? Some people tell me. I don't want to admit that I'm 50.
Exactly. I accuse Deborah of that, only I say that she only hears what she wants to hear. That's selective listening.
Well, I would never tell a wife that she's 50 plus. That's not a good thing. But let me tell you one of the other benefits and why I joined AARP. The day I turned 50, I had Hartford Automobile and Homeowners Insurance. I had two kids who were in their late teens and my wife, and we had four vehicles. And my insurance premiums totaled between home and auto were going to be $4,200 a year. Now, that's not bad. The day I turned 50, I called AARP, and I said, I want to switch from Hartford to AARP Hartford. Now I jump from a pool of four people in a household to 38 million people nationwide, and my insurance premiums went down $2,000 a year.
Not a bad savings.
That was a great savings. It certainly paid for whatever memberships I wanted for AARP.
$16 a year for membership or whatever it is.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of people also think that AARP is an insurance company, and it is not. It endorses insurance companies and other companies because they will then, based on their enrollment, kick money back to the national so that they can help to make the association continue to grow and function, which is the basic same rule as government.
Right. Let's go through some of the benefits there are that come with your AARP membership. Certainly the insurance.
Well, that's but you don't have to take
no,
that.
No. I understand, but they're available to you.
Right.
They're available to you if you choose.
In larger pools.
In larger pools. They also have a lot of information that you get, use it or not, with regard to what's going on in the government, with regard to what's going on for health care, with regard to what's going on, in some cases locally, yes, no?
Well, not so much locally. That's where the chapters would step in.
Right.
But AARP was formed in order to make sure that the people, the members, AARP is a membership organization, not an insurance organization or anything like that. It's a membership organization. And the members hopefully will take advantage or at least have access to long-term health care choices, medical care choices, and financial care choices, because those are the things that most people are at risk for.
And there are any number of industries that will give you, as an AARP member, additional discounts other than just going to the movies and getting a
There are travel companies that, exactly. For instance, a few years ago I was going to take my wife and her mother and my mother to Italy. We were going to go on a 16-day tour covering the whole country. And we went online to Globus, which is a huge travel organization. And peak times of the year, it was like $3,700 a year, a tour. $3,700 for the 16-day tour. The same tour through AARP, through same Globus, was $2,700 a year, or a tour. $2,700 for 16 days. Same company, same everything, just AARP Globus instead of just Globus. That's a huge thing.
It is a huge thing.
And that was during the peak season.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's all kinds of companies that will give you AARP discounts, whether it's hotels, whether it's restaurants, any number of organizations in myriad fields.
Mm-hmm. What else is there that you could think of right off the top of your head that is AARP related that makes this thing so positive for people and so useful?
The National advocates for seniors and those that will be seniors. Whether you agree or disagree with them, that's for you to decide. The chapters exist to help the local communities. We stay out of the politics. We have nothing to do with the politics, but we do advocate issues, and we inform on issues. And again, you make your own choices. The main thing is that we are here to help people. And I always tell people, even through my business networking, if you need help, whether it's personally or professionally, let me know. If I don't do it, I know who does do it, or I know somebody who does know who doesn't. And I've been able to use that through the different organizations that I liaison for so that people of all ages and all needs can be taken care of.
At the meeting last night, and I didn't catch the full gist of the conversation, but you are trying to get onto a committee?
Yes, the Task Force Against Elder Abuse.
Elder Abuse, that's what it
right.
was, Elder Abuse, okay. And
that is a state board.
Right.
It's called TASA, Senior Abuse. Task Force Against Senior Abuse, TASA. The Attorney General's office has created a task force so that different issues involving abused seniors can be resolved. Legally, whatever. Well, to this point, the board has not done their job, and you heard an outburst last night from one of the members saying that's a joke. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was presented with the information about the board a few weeks ago at a NRTA meeting, which is a branch of AARP now instead of just the original, the Attorney General's office spokesman was there, and he was talking to us about this particular board and how it functions. So I asked him how to get on the board, and he said, well, you can't because there is no citizens on the board. It's made up of people who are board members in other organizations that have to do with seniors. So I let him know immediately that I was not only on the board of the Arizona AASRA, which is the All Arizona School Retirees Association, but I am also the president of AARP, chapter number one, and I deal a lot with the state AARP office, and I deal with the national as well. That right there qualifies me to be on that board. I'm still waiting to hear, and I'm hopefully going to hear from a person who's not on until Monday. So that's what I'm shooting for, to be on that board so that I can make a difference. Or if the board's not going to be doing their job, then I want to make it known to people that it needs to be taken care of.
Well, this session that we're doing here on Blog Talk is going to be ending here. Just stick with me, though, Archie, because I want to get into that a little bit more, and we'll go to the next session of Blog Talk. Hold on a second, please.
Interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.